Welcome to In The Stiffs podcast with me, Sam Easton. I'm joined by my friends and former Shrewsbury teammates, Gavin Cowan and Dave Edwards.
Big thank you to our sponsors, the brilliant Budgeon Motors, kindly sponsoring us in this third series, a family-owned business of 40 years with exceptional customer service. Loads of competitive deals on new and used cars. Get yourselves down there.
Today's guest is Shrewsbury-born footballer who played most of his football for Wolverhampton Wanderers. According to Wikipedia, he's remembered as a cult hero who was wholehearted and a committed player who cared dearly for the club he'd been at since the age of seven. 235 appearances in the Championship, League One and the Major League in the United States is Jack Price.
And he's only 30, despite the beard.
30, wow.
They look about 40, don't they?
Thanks for being on this.
Welcome, Pricey.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Another Shrewsbury lad.
All right, Mon.
All right, Pricey lad. All right, Sammy lad. I thought that was going, all right, Shag. I'm like, wait, Shag means something different.
But you're from Shrewsbury. Watched Shrewsby as a kid?
Was I born in Shrewsbury?
No, you're from Shrewsbury. Watched Shrewsby as a kid?
I did watch Shrewsby, yeah, down the game, Eddie. But Sammy, yes, did, wing, did, yeah, remember right, well.
Did you have any favourite players when you were when you used to go down?
Ryan, no.
Hey, he's not daft. He says, Ryan, no, keep his options open. Yeah,
exactly.
He's thinking, yeah, I'll get back in the Championship. Yeah,
so I love going down. Game better. My sister used to take me down. I was probably about seven or eight.
That's proper football there, the one in pitch.
That was proper. Pitch was boggy.
You wouldn't have enjoyed playing on that pitch, though, Jack, would you?
I did. I had a couple of school finals on that pitch.
Yeah.
Got a couple of hat tricks. I loved it. Yeah. No, it was great. No, I loved going down there, mate. It was a proper stadium.
Yeah. Still a Shrewsbury fan now?
Yeah, occasionally. I'm an Arsenal fan, but I do go down every Christmas when I'm back and go and watch them. And I enjoy it, to be fair. Obviously, a few pops and that, and take the family down. I took Hugo, actually, to his first game this off season. It was the York in the FA Cup. But we left at half time because he's too young. He's only three, so
it wasn't a
football.
Were you a superstar when you were a kid? Then were you like were you unbelievable when you were like six and seven and eight or not?
I was all right, mate. My brother was better than me.
Yeah,
I think it helped me playing with his age group. He's 2 years above me, brother, and that did help. But I was at our age group.
You were one of the best.
Easy for me, yeah, and that's why I played up. And obviously until I got scouted at Wolves, but I was seven at the time. But it's funny with that, actually, because I wanted to go to Shrewsbury for a trial. I think it was Ray Coles, I think I remember telling you this.
Yeah.
And my dad had spoke to him, but he said I was too young to go at the time because we didn't really want to travel. But then obviously I went up to Wolves when I was like seven. And
so not involved with the academy at all at Shrewsbury?
No, I've never played for him.
Missed out
slipped
there,
through
haven't
it there. It's flipping mad, it.
Well, there's still time, there's still time.
Yeah, there is. Yeah,
but it's like that then, probably, did they?
Yeah, you'd think though, wouldn't you? It's just mad that, isn't it, when you're from Shrewsbury and you
support Shrewsbury.
Yeah. I mean, I think now they're in like, they have pre-academies, don't they? Like, heck, the players like under seven pre-academy, but you've got to, haven't you? Otherwise, straight away, you're going to Wolves at seven. That's it.
Yeah.
It's not like
I wanted to even go up there because my dad didn't want to take me.
Yeah, it's
every
right pain driving up there, isn't it?
So it would have been perfect on the doorstep, but it is what it is. And
like you say, that's why they do it now, because they just don't want anyone slipping through the net.
Can't afford to, though, can you?
Because there is the odd one like yourself who makes it and does well, has a career for himself and would obviously be a brilliant asset to Shrewsbury.
Yeah. Billy Jones, didn't he? He was never at Shrewsbury, was he, as well? There's two local lads there, not even being... Yeah, he went to Crewe, Jack's gone to Wolves. That's mad, that, isn't it?
Especially when you would have stayed at Shrewsbury as well. Do you know what I mean? So you'd have no reason to, at 14, being the best player at Shrewsbury's academy, unless a club was going to go into buy you wouldn't have then gone to Wolves, would you, or something? You'd have stayed at Shrewsbury.
100%, yeah, and it still allowed me to play with my mates a little bit probably as well. There'd have been a few lads that had gone and played there from school, so it would have been ideal. I didn't know anyone at Wolves, and it was harder, but...
Equally though, I suppose more so from your dad, when you've gone to Wolves and you're embedded there and you've been there, you're not going back to Shrewsbury then, are you? Because...
True. I mean, there was probably a spell where I was like 15, 16 before, you know, you're getting the scholarship, where they'd always say whether I was too small or too weak. So I suppose if I did then get released, because Connor Goldson's a good example.
Yeah.
Connor was my age group all the way through, probably from the age of 9 to 14, then got released. Obviously came to Shrewsbury and did really well for them. And obviously went to the Premier League, didn't he? And he's at Rangers now, I think, isn't he? So
yeah,
I suppose maybe if it didn't work there, I would have come back.
So how good were you when you were at Wolves as a kid, when you were like 9 and 10, 11? Were you the top player there as well?
You'll have a laugh at this. I was a little winger. I was fast.
Score for that.
I've done that since I was about 14. But yeah, no, I was pretty good even then, mate, to be fair. And I think that's probably when I knew I was getting a bit older. I was probably like, I could do this.
You got a chance. Yeah, when did you feel like you had a chance then? When you think,
probably under 13s, 14s then. Thinking, I was like, I'm decent. I can handle myself, even as the lads were big and stronger. I like to think I was probably a few steps ahead upstairs, because I had to be fair, because I couldn't rely on my pace or strength. Never really had it. So, but yeah, probably about 13, 14, I thought, I've got a chance here.
You mentioned a couple of times already about your size. Mm. Is that something that you were nervous about? Because like you say, back then, probably however many years ago it was, there was no sort of reliance on the Iniestas and, you know, the Xavis and all of that, which now are quite popular and, you know, people are more open-minded to that. Was that something that was in the forefront of your mind all the time?
I was always told that. I was always, even from coaches from the age of 7 to probably, even now, they probably still say, like, he's too small, or is he going to be big enough to play? Because we'd had a lot of lads that would come, a lot of them would come from, like, Birmingham Way, and they were, you know, big strong boys coming up against these lads.
Yeah.
I'd be coming up against these lads and be a bit like, God, they're strong, aren't they? But I would just stay away from them and see if they could get the ball off me sort of thing. And it did work, but it did play on my mind a little bit. And, you know, my dad, my whole family's small, so they knew I was never going to grow any bigger, but...
The opposite for me, I was massive but shit. I used to get by and go, I'm really big. Oh yeah, you'll go through then, you'll get your YTS.
Now, we're doing it in the academies, you have to put down, like, when I've had to do the forms for my boys and that, they have to put on, like, how tall you are and how tall, like, the mum is and that. It's obviously to judge your height. Yeah. I put I was 6'4". But did you have to put that?
Holly 5'11".
Yeah, Holly's 5'11", I'm 6'4".
The thing is, though, like, with my mum wasn't tall. My dad wasn't overly tall. He was probably just touching 6 foot, if that. It was more so from my granddad on my mum's side. That's where they say that I get all of my height from. So is it like can you do that?
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Nowadays? I think it is.
Just look at Lionel Messi win the World Cup and everything. Yeah.
You can't risk losing too the small talent because he's too small. Do you know what I mean?
It's too small.
How can a coach ever say these days, well, you're too small? Like, you just wouldn't see it. No. You wouldn't see it. You just say, like you said, you've already mentioned Xavi and Iniesta. You got Lionel Messi.
But the narrative was different then. Football was different. Now, because of the technical side of it, like, you've got players. Like, for me, I've always thought it was a bit of a load of rubbish. When you've got some of the small players that you've played with and against, I think they're more tenacious. I feel like they feel like they've got more to prove. And, like, you almost go into a tackle with him thinking, yeah, you're getting it. And you come out going, oh, fucking, I'm in tatters here. So I'd never really seen that. I think, of course, there's that shoulder-to-shoulder strength. There's always going to be lads stronger and bigger than others. But, yeah, I've always thought it was a load of rubbish.
You talk about height, obviously, when you were younger, Pricey. Did that ever... There was times where you maybe played a year down rather than a year up at Wolves?
I think it was... You know, when you get to about 15, 16, it's like the under-16s or the under-14s. Yeah. We didn't really have an under-15s. So I would always play with the 14s, like, always.
Yeah.
It'd be a Thursday afternoon at training or evening, sorry, and do you mind playing, going Bolton away with the younger lads? And I'm thinking, not again. Yeah. But I did, mate. Yeah, I played probably almost a whole year, really.
Was that disheartening?
Yeah, it was horrible. Yeah, it was probably a stage where I said to my dad, I'm not going to do this, because obviously they don't.
Especially when you're 21. Going away really under 14. Oh, yeah, all right, yeah. No
problem. But that is now, when you see it now with the academy kids, it's not as if they play it down. You see it as a demotion, don't you? Yeah, whereas you play up, it's a promotion. So that must have worked out, mate.
And then I actually got called up to play for the 16s in one game, and I did well. And then they probably looked and thought, oh, actually, you can hack playing a year above or whatever. But yeah, it was horrible.
A year group, and you're technically good. Did you find it a bit too easy?
Yeah, it was too easy. And, you know, we'd go to Bolton, there'd be a few lads dropping down from the 15s, and we'd win like 8-0 and 7-1. And I'd be like, I just don't see the point in doing this. They obviously don't rate me as a player anymore. And it's just what it was. It was actually John Trollope, was my coach at the time. I'm sure his son, Paul Trollope, he was manager of Bristol Rovers and stuff, right, wasn't he? And he was the one that gave me a chance to go and play up above, and I did well. So it's probably, you know, thank him really for. In the end, I got my scholarship because of him, I think.
Because before that, you were maybe on the verge, into not for them selecting you, but you yourself thinking, I'm not sure if this is for me.
Yeah, 100%. I remember having a meeting with Kev Fellwell, it was the time. He was our academy director. And I was in there with my dad. I just said to him, I said, I'm not enjoying this. I'm not going to do it. And I remember going home with my dad, and he's like, he was a mechanic at Pritchard's down Mill Brace, and he'd be in there. And he said, Jack, you don't want to work with me, do you, for the rest of your life, sort of thing. And then I was thinking, well, actually, no, I don't. You know, when it gets to the winter months, it's cold in it. So I was like, I don't want a piece of that. Because I did a work experience there for 2 weeks. I didn't turn up for the last week. I was like, I'm not doing this.
It's really under 14s.
And I thought, you know what, yeah, I'll give it a go. And I stuck at it and got my scholarship, obviously, and then and got my professional contract. So,
When you look at it though, Jack, obviously I know that they were maybe dropping you down a year into the under-14s. Do you think that there might have been a little bit of like method to the madness there? Do you think that they were doing that purposely just to give you game time, just to get you technically right? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Just like a bit of repetition in yourself. Do you think that it was maybe like, instead of like how you probably perceived it as almost like a punishment and you felt a little bit, oh yeah, this is a bit of a knock to my confidence. Do you think maybe that they were just doing that because they did have ambitions for you and just wanted to get loads of game time in you? Or
yeah, it could have been. Or, you know, the lads, you know, it was Nathan Rooney, Sammy Morsey, and they, you know, they played well. Sam's at Ipswich now, and maybe at the time they just thought they were better, them two in the midfield or whatever. And I needed, like you say, have minutes, and you don't see it like that as a kid.
No, of course,
you just think you're not good enough or whatever. I wasn't even travelling or even being on the bench. But yeah, maybe, you know, the lads above weren't bad players either. So I mean, Nathan Rooney, he was
brilliant, wasn't he?
Like box to box goals, everything you want from a midfielder. Telford lad, isn't he?
Where's he now?
I don't even know if he's playing. Is he?
Yeah, I don't know if he's playing. No, I know he went to Telford. Yeah, like for a bit. I don't.
It's mad that wasn't he? He was 16. Even them lads at that age, you were thinking like you're thinking 100% he's going to make it.
He was
youth
team captain, wasn't he?
Youth team captain. Yeah.
Everyone I've spoken to about him has just been like, he was a joke.
He was brilliant, mate. Really. And you know,
obviously Sammy Morsey's had a brilliant career.
He's had a great career, but Neef was a better player.
Yeah,
100% a better player. Technically, scored goals.
There's a million players out there, isn't there?
You see it all the time.
But then you're behind them, and how many games you've played as well?
It is mad. But no, it's maybe looking back, they probably were just doing it for me to get minutes.
So when it finally got to that decision, right, you're going to get a pro or not? Did you know you were going to get it, or were you on the fence still at then?
Yeah, still. You know, they didn't give anything away, did they? They didn't give you any like pointers or, you know, sort of like an indication. And I was going in to get my pro contract, actually. It was Mick McCarthy was waiting. I was driving up the 54 and I had a car crash on the way in the morning off. Smashed my collarbone, broke it to pieces. And I remember Kev Felwell ringing me saying, oh, don't worry, Jack, just do it tomorrow. I'm thinking, oh no, it's bad news, isn't it? I've just had a car crash, they don't want to tell me. So I went, no, I want to come in. So I went in that afternoon in my sling, up there. And Mick McCarthy said, good job, it's good news, mate, and you won't be on the whiskey tonight or something. So to me, I was like, that's brilliant. So obviously I was chuffed, but yeah, no, I had no clue, mate. I had no clue what was going on, really. It's nerve-wracking, isn't it?
Yeah.
Look at this picture. I found a Jack on there. Look at that. It's a fresh face.
You've got that. Was Anfield.
Look at that.
Wow.
Look at that. I've never seen Jack without a beard. I found that this morning. Look
quality.
At that. I mean, it's not a good listen for not a good view for the podcast, but it's on YouTube.
Yeah, zoom in on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's like he should be an indie rock band.
Look at that, doesn't he? Yeah, he looks like lead singer of The Verve. So then you got on the bench in the Prem as a youngster. What can tell us about that then?
Yeah, Norwich away, 17 it was.
So you signed pro though?
Signed pro, yeah.
So have you got a pro early then?
Yeah, it must have been March time. I think we got to I must have been 18 because the year after, it was the year of the Prem and there was a few injuries because I think the midfield that day was Egert Jonsson. I think I want to say Milias.
In Norwich?
In the Prem, yeah, Norwich away. Jarvo scored, he lost 2-1.
I played that game.
Did you play that game?
Yeah.
Obviously played well, can't remember. Yeah.
A lot of injuries.
Sorry, Dave. Chat that before I come on.
Yeah. Is it Johnny Gorman play?
Johnny Gorman came on. That's what I was going to say. Me and him were warming up. It was TC was a manager on it at the time.
So we were already relegated, weren't we, then? Pretty much.
I think if you got result, it would have been tough, I think.
Great chance for a younger, though, isn't it?
Already
pretty much relegated.
How do you feel then?
Injuries.
I was like, you know, when you're on the sideline and TC's looking down at me and Johnny Gorman. And Johnny Gorman, you know what he was like? He was pretty lazy, so he wasn't really doing much. And there's me sprinting.
I'm ready.
He's
going to
pick me. Yeah, he's going to pick me. And obviously, he needed a goal. We're 2-1 down and not going to pick me. So they put Gorms on and I was gutted. I had to sit down. But just being involved in the first team was brilliant. I think I'd travelled a few games before. Mick McCarthy was the manager at the time. And I went to Chelsea, but I didn't make the squad. But I had to obviously sing in front of the lads and that.
Who were the lads in the team at that time? Obviously, Dave was there,
obviously. But
model professional.
Jody Craddock,
I think, was in there. Silva, Eubanks, Blake. Oh, Silva, I used to hate him at times. You know, in training.
Demanding.
Oh, like half a yard to the right, you give it away or he'd lose it and he'd just stare at you. And I'd be like, oh, no.
Could you have done better than Silva? Nah.
Honestly, mate.
And he wouldn't shout, would he? Just that death stare.
Death stare. Obviously, Steers and that were there still. A lot of them were really good lads. I remember Sil saying to me, for whatever reason, I was sat next to him. I don't know why. He's gone, make sure when you go up, thank the gaffer for picking you. You know, he's coming. So I'm thinking, I've never done it, so I've never been involved in this. Yeah, so I've gone up. George Ellacobi's got like a chair because obviously I'm tiny, so he's taking the mick a bit. Yeah. So he's put me up. He's picked me up on his chair, put me on. And I'd like to fight the gaffer for picking me to travel, and they're all like crying and that. And
I love it.
I was so nervous. I didn't even eat my food. I had like a whole plate of food left. And I was saying Champagne Supernova, Oasis, absolute belter. And I did all right. And then after that, I felt like, you know, like one of the lads sort of thing, even though I was still nowhere near the first team, really, but you just feel more involved.
Do you think it's important, that initiation then? Because like, there's a lot of, it's a bit controversial now, isn't it? Because a lot of people like, I think, oh, you shouldn't do it. I mean, people sort of mention bullying and things like that.
It's important because I feel like if I didn't do that, I don't think, you know, the big characters in the team there at the time, they wouldn't have had the time of day for me, really. And I feel like me going up there and just trying to belt it out, oh, he's got a bit about him.
Yeah,
you know, he's got a bit around.
Yeah, and you're going out your comfort zone by playing with these players 100%. Anyway, aren't you? So I think it's big.
I think we still do it over there.
You still
there.
Do it now?
Yeah, we still do it. And yeah, they don't really have it, do they, the Americans? Some of them love it. Some of them are like...
But in that transition from youth team through to reserves to first team, there's a lot of sink or swim moments, isn't there? And I think that's one of them. It's like you've got to earn your right in there. Obviously, you've got to be a good player, but lads will warm to you more, won't they, if you can just buy into that. Like there's lads that you say, come on, you get up and they go, oh, yeah, and you just think, wow, you're obviously a bit of a whopper. But the lads that just get up, and the more of a fool you've been making yourself, the more lads go, brilliant, like fantastic, don't they?
Yeah, if you would have stolen it, it's like anything, if you said sing, if you act nervous, it's horrible. If you just go for it, you get through it, don't
100%.
You?
100%. The older you get, like you're one of the older pros, it's like you want them to go up there and just...
Yeah,
it's an idiot, don't you?
Yes.
It's good banter in it, so...
So that was your first time on the bench, that was? So yeah. Chelsea?
No, I didn't make the bench, I was just in the squad.
And that was a Premier League game, was it?
That was a cup game. It's a cup game.
So you're ready. You're getting in the round it then already.
Yeah,
you're getting the proper taste for it now. Yeah. Like you're ledge. So all you come back, all your mates in Shrewsbury.
Yeah,
they're all buzzing with you.
Buzzing. Couldn't wait.
Are you coming back like Charlie Big Bollocks?
Yeah.
When you get your
100%.
You're in the corridor going, all right, lads. Yeah, I am. I'm in.
Bold in.
I'll get these. Your money's no good here, lads. I'll get these.
Bold in full Wolves kit.
Price 41 on.
I did, man. It was brilliant.
Yeah, I felt. But then you sort of feel
too
like
right as well. Too right. Like, what an achievement.
I didn't play first team proper game until I was like 20. Yeah. So even then I took my foot off the gas a little bit, thinking I'm around this sort of. And then.
Which is inevitable. Every young lad does that. You see, every young lad bursts on the scene and they have a little dip.
What do you mean, Jack? Like, you took your foot off the gas. What do you mean by that?
Maybe because I was around the first team and I trained a couple of times. I thought it was there already. You know, when people say to you, you've not made it until you've played 100 and whatever games. So I thought I'd made it and I didn't play the game. So I think, like you say, it's normal for a young lad to think that.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I was 20 where I actually made my debut. I was in the reserves for two or three years and never went on loan, nothing. Thought my career was over again.
It kind of is coinciding with the club needing results, there wasn't. So we got relegated from the Premier League and then we had a real tough season in the Championship. It wasn't really a time to blood
young lads, young,
especially because they kind of went again in terms of recruitment, didn't they, in the Championship. So they brought in a new manager, chucked a load of money at it. So there was never that pathway, was there?
No,
until
you can't afford to have a young lad taking six games, can you, to get going though? Can you? No. You're never going to take that chance, are you? Just get him in.
So it took another relegation to League One, and then that was almost like the perfect storm for you young boys, wasn't it, at the time, that it was absolutely clear everyone out now.
Perfect,
we need to start again. We need to start with youth. We need young, hungry lads in. And then that was your big season then, wasn't it? So it was 2013-14
season, wasn't it?
Kenny Jackett was just put in charge.
Yeah, we had a few young boys, didn't we? We had a six or seven of us, I think, made the step.
So going into that pre-season, what was the conversations that you were having with the lads around you, the coaches? Were you told you're going to get a good chance this year?
I remember, I think Kenny Jackett had pulled a few of us aside, sort of said, like, we're sort of relying now on, like you say, the youth, because they spent a bit of money. Obviously, back-to-back relegations is tough on the finances sort of side of it. So I think we knew it was our time. And I think because it wasn't just one or two of us, there was a six or seven of us. And we were quite comfortable. We played in the reserves together for years. So probably having that few players next year, like Ethan and Evo and that.
So who was that? Which other lad?
Ebanks Landell, who's at the town, obviously. Lee Evans, who's at Ipswich now.
Yeah.
We had like Zelie Ishmael. He's playing in Newtown, hasn't he?
Yeah, but he was like a boy wonder, wasn't he?
Brilliant, he was.
Yeah, absolute.
Yeah, next £100 million, wasn't
he? Killed him,
in the paper. Mad. Liam McAlinden as well. I don't know if he's Wrexham now. Jamie Record was around it a little bit.
Dave Davis and Danny Bath, they're all older than you, weren't they?
They're older. Dave Davis and all that, they were 2 years older than me.
Yeah. You'd obviously would have played with them though, wouldn't you?
I played a few of them. Obviously, you've seen reserve level. So in the end, it was almost like our team. So most of the first team, like we had, what, Foles and all that, Wardy and that, they were sort of bombed out, weren't they?
Yeah, there wasn't many of us left, was there?
No.
So. All the lads on not a lot of money left.
So we got our chance.
Get anybody with a few, anybody on a few quid, get them out.
All the there. Lads paying subs, you can stay.
You want me to go? No, you're staying, Dave.
Possibly, yeah.
I bet, like, because once you got that, though, when all your mates playing, you've already got that camaraderie and that. Yeah. You don't need to do anything with team spirit. Like, your team spirit's there, especially in League One, you've got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
And that was a season one where...
Went straight back up, wasn't it?
You won it straight away.
Straight away. It was easy, wasn't it, really, when you look back on it. I didn't play an awful lot.
How did your season go then? So I remember you was on the bench, weren't you? Your first game at Preston.
Quite a few games. Gillingham, I came on the first home game. I think we won 4-0, so I got 15 minutes. I'm just ratting around, like, give me the ball, like, sort of thing, excited. Then I started Sheffield United with my first start at home.
Yeah, 1-2-0. Yeah.
But around Christmas time, I didn't play an awful lot. It wasn't until after Christmas I played, because I think I ended up playing a 30-odd.
Great timing, Pricey, that.
Yeah, it was.
That's when
Dave
normally kicks in.
Yeah, it was that season. That's what
Dave normally kicks in around that time.
Did he play a centre mid with Dave then at all?
We probably had a couple, but did Kev come in that January?
He came in January. Yeah,
I
wasn't playing before January at all, really. I had a couple of injuries, and then I came in after January.
Yeah, because you played a lot of the 10, though, didn't you?
Yeah, so it's like usually me and Kev.
Yes,
Kev holding and me is just ahead of you.
It's in the 10?
Yeah.
Defensive 10.
But we're going away from home, set and keep it.
One of those 10s that will run the channels for you, but defend as well.
I can imagine you two would be like quite a nice little...
I'm not just saying this because Pricey, but I used to love playing with Pricey.
My
favourite season was playing when I played a bit deeper alongside you because we play with a 10 who would kind of attract players to him because they were technical. Pricey would just stay in the middle of the pitch and just let you go. And then I could just arrive from deep all the time. Yeah, sort of box to box. But he would just sweep up everything behind you.
I never had the engine to get into the box.
You were the insurance.
He was, that's it.
Yeah. Like, you're the sort of player who like lads love to play with, don't you? Like, if you're on the wing, I'm like, just pass me the ball. I don't want someone who's going to be dribbling through and doing stuff. And like, I don't want that. I want someone who's going to...
You're the recycler, Jack, aren't you? Yeah. You're the insurance.
You've got to cover. You've got to come across and cover. And if Dave makes a run, you've got to cover for Dave and all that.
100%, yeah.
Dave got me to... I'm not just saying it's just because you're here as well, but genuinely, Dave got me tickets for a game that you played. I think it was in the Championship against QPR. QPR went 1-0 up, and you nicked one back, and that was it. It was set up for you then. And you literally just stood probably 10 yards in advance of the halfway line, and everything just went through you, and you literally dictated every 1-2-1, and you were just superb that day. Like, you were so good, and like they were trying to drop down deep on you, couldn't get it, and then you would, like Sam was saying, you were coming across and mopping things up, but you literally were the insurance, recycling everything went through you. You were magnificent that day.
That position that position gets so overlooked by fans. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think everyone inside the club knew how important that position is, but you'll never get the sort of the headlines or and things like that. But you're so important to the continuity of a game, the tempo of a game. You dictate how fast that game's played.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not just saying it because you're here, but the best one-touch player I've played with in terms of, like, the best...
Whoa, that's offensive.
my heart hurts.
Like a knife through my heart. That.
You didn't think it was you, did you? It was definitely me.
A bounce pass. You know, like if a fullback fires into you, he's already scanned and plays off to the centre half or to the winger. But first time, no, that's just that crisp one on the floor.
Back foot out the other way. Yeah. Bring it back foot out the other way. Yeah. And then that one, I love that one that you do as well, where you get it back foot, you go to play to that winger, and then you just chop it inside into the front man. I love that little one as well. You're just doing that all the time. And then they were going, go tight to the winger. And then he'd go there and he'd make a run inside and you're just chopping it back in. It's flipping brilliant.
And obviously defensive side of your game as well. You read the game well, didn't you? Sort of stop passes into the front man, that sort of thing.
Yeah, try and screen.
And you'd throw a tackle in as well, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think that's probably because of my size.
Yeah.
Yeah, we touched on it before where, because I was smaller, I felt like I had to probably get stuck in a bit more. And I think there was one tackle which the Wolves fans loved when O'Hara came back, Blackpool. Oh, I've absolutely laid one on him. And I just, the South Bank just went up and I was like,
get down.
Holding on to him as you're getting up.
Will that be on YouTube? Can we be able to get that?
We'll have a little
look. Maybe.
We'll find it. I bet we'll be able to find it.
What about the one in
I was going to say, the worst one I've seen was at Barnsley.
Yeah, but that was...
He's flown in. You and Alex Mowat.
Alex Mowat.
They've both flown in as bad as each other. But then you've gone down like pretending he's absolutely broke your leg. He got sent off. You just walked
like
away.
A fish on the floor. He comes up to me and he goes, he's been sent off. And I was like, I'm all right now.
Now get on the ball. I've got 10 men, lad. I've got loads of space here. Give me the ball.
Yeah. That one's probably around somewhere. That
was a bad tackle from you as well, wasn't it? So both of you went in horrendously.
It's almost like his stud came up into my chin sort of thing, wasn't it? It was a weird tackle.
But you loved that. You loved the physicality.
I did, yeah. Yeah, I did love it. You've got to. I feel like if you're going off, you're just going to get hurt, aren't you?
That is something that you miss now in the Prem. It's love that. It's, I saw a tweet today about, you know, there's 22 man brawl and the commentators go, no one likes to see it. Everyone loves to see that. Everyone loves a tackle. Everyone loves to see a scrap and that. It's like, you used to live for that, didn't you?
But yeah, when you're playing, you want to be in that, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Part of it.
Pushing
someone. You know, yeah, pushing and scrap and that. I'll see you in the tunnel after and all that.
It's arguably the bit I think you miss most. 100%. You know, that competitiveness, the... You know, like trying to get better of your man and like you say, getting that tussle. And I was literally, my friend of mine, Matthew Barnes-Omer, we were having a conversation yesterday and he was laughing, telling someone about it, how when he was at Macclesfield, played against him. And right at the end, it was 3-3. And I did a last ditch tackle on him, literally 2 yards from the goal line. And as we've both gone to get up, Barnsley's not like ever going to allow me to get the better of him and vice versa. And we've literally been there and it just turned into a 22-man brawl just because we're trying to literally, I'll get up and go, no, you stay there. And I'm getting up. He's like, you stay there. And we're just, either one of us was just on the floor for about 2 minutes and it all kicked off. And we're just like, that's like something that you remember.
Yeah.
You can talk back and obviously you have a bit of respect for each other as well. And you miss them times, don't you? Miss them times. So
that's your breakthrough season anyway. Go back to the League One, breakthrough season.
Yeah.
Up to the Championship.
Yeah.
Celebrations.
Vegas.
Did you go to Vegas?
I just went. I 21
how old were you then?
I was 21.
21
was
in lucky. Vegas.
There was a
lad from Sundown.
New contract. With a new contract as well. Signing on fee.
Red Republic. Something like that.
Did you take that to Vegas with you?
Yeah. And that's on the bar, isn't it? Young player.
Price is around the pool party with his young player of the year. Go to that.
The bottles and that. with Vegas. But there was a few lads like Zelly and Macklin. They were 20 because they were the year below. So they all missed out on it.
Did they not go?
Couldn't even go. Because you can't drink till you're 21.
That was good of you lot then to go somewhere different.
I'm 21.
Last week, we'll be going to Vegas. That's a shame, lads. I'll see when we
give you some of the kit.
It's 200 quid to go to Marbella.
He's having brilliant, lads.
You must have missed out on that one.
Yeah, I was away of Wales.
Wales. Thought it was a wedding or something, because I think Sam missed out on a wedding. Yeah, that was brilliant. It was some good times. I mean, Kev Mack, he got pushed into the pool one day. Some bloke 40 nicked his app for whatever reason. Comes out, pushes Kev. Kev gets out, eyes glazed, gets him in like a holder thing, and I'm behind him just jabbing it.
I'm here for you, mate. I'm here for you.
I'll come here, Kev, lad. You make the box, mate. I'll come here. No, it was good. Vegas, yes. It's probably the first time I've gone, apart from Magaluf or somewhere, it's a bit like proper wild.
Yeah.
Do anything sort of.
Without your Shrewsbury Mourners either.
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, I've been there with them.
No, I said it's the first time you've been away without.
Oh, yeah. It's usually Magaluf for the lads or Ryan Apper. Yeah.
What was it like, though? So obviously, you've just done that. Obviously, that's been massive. You've gone to Vegas. What's it like coming back to Shrewsbury then? What were your mates and that like with you?
Well, to be fair, we booked on to go the summer after to Vegas. It's me and three other lads from Shrewsbury. I said, lads, you've got to go. We've got to go here. Yeah, like, save going. Your money. Like, we're going. We're going. So we went that year and I think the year after.
Did you?
I went 3 years in a row because it was brilliant. And
you have to show him a picture after. Remember you coming back one pre-season, you showed me a picture of him in a wheelchair getting pushed back to his room after a night out. Him and his mate, two wheelchairs.
I'm all right.
I'm on the hotel floor, I'm on the floor, two mates in the wheelchair, my other mate just taking a picture. Security guard just stood there.
Can you not forward this to the gaffer?
It was, yeah. But yeah,
so your mates all proud of you and everything?
Yeah, they are. They're good, mate.
And they've been your mates since you were
since I was in school.
Yeah.
Which is that, nice. Because
it's hard to do that, isn't it? I think. I mean, I know you've been looking at your Wolves, but you're moving away now. You lose a lot of your mates, don't you? I think along the way, I think where we probably would. Mates who you're primary school with. There's not that many now who I would necessarily keep in touch with from primary school or whatever. So I really do.
Both me and you are lucky, though, that we live so close to Wolves. 100%. So I've got all my mates from back home who I spent the majority of my life with, and you'd have been the same, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Because you will get hangers on, especially when you know things are going well and you're in a few quid and that, isn't it? You're going to get a lot of people are going to want to be your friends, aren't they? A lot of people are going to have a drink with you, but you know that they were your mates when you're nothing, and they'll be your mates if you ended up
100%
went bankrupt.
Can't get rid of them. Must be a Vegas trip. Come on, he'll take us again.
Get pricey. Book on this Vegas trip. He's got a few quid.
That's why we got you on the podcast. trying to get a trip to Vegas.
So you had a few loans, or didn't you, after that? So obviously you'd been at Wolves since the age of 7. So that must have been weird going to another club.
Yeah, I was a bit gutted. It was the first time we got back in the Championship after that season, the League One season, and it started really well, didn't it? I think Kev Mack and Evo, I think, was in there at the time. And you were flying. I remember you scored, was it the first game of the season, Norwich at home?
Yeah, beat Norwich 1-0, didn't we?
And I was nowhere near it, but the lads were doing really well, so you don't really expect it, do you? Yeah, so it was whatever. And I remember Kenny Jackett pulling me after training, I think it was October time, and he's like, Yeovil have been on the phone. I'm thinking, don't even know where Yeovil is, sort of thing. And he's like, would you like to go, sort of thing? I said, well, no, not really. I'd rather just fight.
They were League One at the time, were they?
You're going.
Yeah. They were League One at the time.
And then, it's not just that. It's Wolves, isn't it? Which is a massive club, isn't it, to Yeovil. It is quite the jump.
But it was good for me, I think. So I was staying in a hotel. Wasn't used to it. Didn't know anyone. Chris Wheel. Do you know Chris Wheel? He was the goalkeeper. Yeah. He played for Shrewsbury, didn't he? He was the only one I sort of know of. Gary Johnson was the manager. I remember when I first turned up in the hotel, I've gone to meet him. I said, oh, all right, Gary. Gaffer to you, son. And I'm thinking, fair point. But he was brilliant. Like, he was old school manager, but great for me, and played a few games there. Then I went on to Leighton Orient for another month. Didn't really enjoy that, because at the time they had a few lads were on some good money there. They had that Darius Henderson, the big striker. Mackenough, he was there.
They went really good squad. They went really close the year before with us, didn't they, to get promoted?
Yeah, yeah.
They were top of the league for most of the season, weren't they?
Dean Cox, the winger, he was there. They had a good team. But the manager went. That Slade had gone to Cardiff, I think. Yeah. So the assistant took over and had some Italian guy come in, and they brought a load of players in. I remember the one day we're all in the canteen, and they've 6'4", long, lovely hair, Italian, like, gorgeous looking bloke. He's taking like a finishing drill. We're thinking, oh, he's gonna be good for us this year, whatever. And as he's like, the assistant's crossing the ball in, and I'm not joking, he's missing the ball. Like, missing the ball. And we're all like, 12 grand a week. How's he making 12 grand a week? League One, Italian. I don't know where they got him from, because they were Italian owners. Yeah. They brought him in. And anyway, so I was only there a month, and I remember getting a call from Kenny Jackett. I was in the hotel room, and he's ringing me, thinking, please call me back. And he did. And I think because you'd gone through a bad run, was it November time?
Yeah, we'd
lost three or four in a row. Had to come back and steady the ship for a little bit. I got used that a lot, didn't I, really?
Yeah.
Times were going a bit hard.
You put in a steady couple of results, and then
get bombed out again.
How did it compare to like the professionalism and everything? I imagine at Wolves, everything's top-notch, really. Yeah. And then suddenly you go to Orient and stuff, was it a massive difference?
Yeah.
It wasn't like washing your own kit and all that sort of thing, was it?
But the food.
Yeah, like, things like that, little things.
You know,
like
sometimes there wouldn't even be food at Yeovil, and you just go to Tesco and get a meal deal or something. And
because you do become accustomed to a certain way, don't you? There's a lot of lads who have played at that level, like you say, with huge clubs like Wolves, who leave no stone unturned. A lot of lads who don't get called back, who you just assume, go, oh yeah, you know, he's got great pedigree. He ends up dropping down, and then they can't cope with them details, can they?
That's what I've seen. Ian Sharps, who's the Wolves under-18s or whatever he is, and he was saying the same. Obviously, they've got all these lads who come all the way through the academy, then suddenly they drop out, and then they think they'll go to Shrewsbury and smash it, or think they'll go to Telford and smash it, and they don't, because it's like, well, hold on a minute, suddenly you haven't been in and around men's football properly, you're playing like under-23s, which is not nothing like it. So that's good that you did that, fair play.
Because in that instance, like I say, a lot of lads will drop out of that, and they will be, like, unlike what Sam's saying there, they will be good enough to play like League One, League Two. But the problem is, because of those details, and they're like, wow, normally I turn up, my kit's done for me. And where's breakfast? Yeah. And like, what are we doing for lunch? And like, who's picking me up to take me back to the hotel? And it's like, no, like, that's on you. And they go, so who's picking me up to take me to the dentist? And it's like, no, you've got to make your own way there. That's like, there's a lot of players that don't recover from that and then struggle and then just don't end up playing.
I can see why, to be fair. I did, when I went to Yeovil, I did struggle, because there'd be times where we wouldn't even train on grass and we'd be on the turf and that. I'm thinking, like, I haven't played on Astro since I was like 14, you know, sort of thing. But you get on with it, you know, it's your job in it at the end of the day. If you want to go in, I wanted to come back to Wolves, so I knew I had to play well. So, and if I didn't, I don't think they would.
How did you find London then, when you was letting Orient?
So it was Chigwell, the area, I think it's.
No, it was. Nice then.
It's all right there.
It was all right, yeah. I stayed in there.
Chigwell, sort of like how can I put it? Posh Essex, but, well, parts of it anyway, but if you can call Essex posh, obviously.
Yeah, because it wasn't really much around there, to be fair. There was like that one restaurant that everyone goes to. Was it Sheesh or something?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be, I don't know. So I just went, mate, honestly, I'd train and then go home, back to the hotel, just put Netflix on or something and go to training. I wouldn't.
So you weren't eyeing about in central London. No. Look at the sights.
Shrewsbury. Yeah. Be lost there, wouldn't I? Yeah. It's not a fan of London. No. Too busy for me.
Full of Southerners.
So So you come back though, got in the team.
Yeah.
Started smashing it. Were you staying the team then for the rest of the season?
I did around Christmas, yeah. In January, I had a good couple of games. I remember the one Boxing Day, I think it was Watford away, and we got a result.
Brilliant game, that was it.
And I played pretty well that game. And then, but for whatever reason, mate, I'd always, well, you'd know, you were there when Kenny Jacket, for whatever reason, he just always sort of beat me as like the scapegoat sort of thing. If we had a bad result, I wouldn't play the next game. And whether I'd play well or not, that's what it felt like to me at times. And
yeah.
I didn't have probably, I'd say, under him, maybe 8 games in a row, if that.
Do you think that's because you've come up through the ranks? Think it's easy to get left out?
He said it to me before. You know, we brought players in. He said, like, we brought player for £1 million or something. Like,
he has to play.
And I'm like, this doesn't really work like that, does it? But obviously it does, so.
It's a lot easier to leave out young
players. Academy product, yeah. Of course it is, yeah.
I think your Wolves career was very much like that. If things were, if Jack was playing and there was a bad result, you're the easy one to leave out. Because you're a good lad.
And I wouldn't
just
say anything.
Good lad, get on with it. But then when things are going a bit shit and you need some reliability, you'd be straight back in the team, wouldn't you?
Always, that's always the way. But like, I would now more as I got older.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If the gaffer left you out, you'd want to know why. Whereas when I was like 21, 22, I was living at home with my mates, still playing football. I was happy just, even if I wasn't playing sort of thing.
It's easy when you go to a new club as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
They've obviously brought you in, so you come with some sort of expectation. Mm-hmm. So you feel like you've got a bit of a bigger voice, I think. Whereas whenever you come through as a kid, it's...
It's normal, isn't it?
It's difficult.
Everything in it, contracts, everything. It just...
We went close that season, didn't we, to get him promoted?
Missed out, was it, by a point or goal difference?
Was that 14-15 season then?
Yeah. Yeah. Just missed out, was it a point or goal difference in the playoffs, wasn't it, in the end?
Goal difference, wasn't it? 78 points.
What, you nearly got the most of the Prem?
Yeah, so we got 78 points. I think it's the most which has missed out on the playoffs in the Championship.
Wow.
A couple of games on there late. Birmingham away.
Yeah.
We lost Middlesbrough away midweek after that. Birmingham was the one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So you two play something in a midfield three then?
Yeah most of the time, wasn't it then?
We had the Leeds game, didn't we, before that?
Best game I've been involved in.
Yeah, because that got us in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Easter Monday, full ice.
Well, him scoring the winner.
Oh, that's it.
Oh, he loves it.
Was it 3-1 up where we at half time?
Set him up nice for that one.
He scored early in the second half, 3-1. Then he got it back to 3-3. He popped up with his...
He scored some big goals, didn't he?
We'll have to get that out, won't we? We're going to have to get that out.
That would go mental.
You played well that day as well.
We did well that day, yeah. I did well that day.
It's because of Pricey. I scored. Corner came out to the edge of the box, went to have a shot.
Yeah.
Shanked it horribly, didn't you?
Yeah.
It's an assist, isn't it?
It went back out wide.
Though. Oh, did it? Yeah.
That was brilliant. Yeah. What an end, mate. The best feeling I've had on a football pitch.
But you obviously you finished the season strongly, and if we'd have got in the playoffs, we'd have had a right chance, wouldn't we? Because we were the form team. We kind of came quite late that season.
Had the momentum.
There's a nice atmosphere at the club then. You're playing well, you're playing well, so everything's feeling good.
Fans are brilliant when they...
Yeah.
When the fans are at Wolves, when it's going well, they're the best around it.
The fans have always liked you then, haven't they?
Yeah, well, I think it's because it's a local lad as well. I don't know if most of them think I'm from Wolverhampton, mate, to be honest, because they've always been brilliant with me. But I think every fan loves seeing someone come from the academy. And if you
give 100%, you throw a tackle and you get stuck in, I think people like appreciate
100%,
that.
100%, yeah, and I felt like every time I was out there, I did that, and that's probably why.
Something that you've mentioned quite a lot already in the podcast is that you just seem to get on with things. Like from being under 15s to being put with the under 14s, you sort of just get on with things without much fuss. I think that's a nice trait in it, and especially when you're a fan or a manager or someone on the coaching staff who sees a player that's just like, want you to do this, brilliant. Want you to go on loan to Yeovil, yeah, I'll do it. Want you to go to Orient, I'll do it. You're sort of that person who just like, get on with it, no fuss, I'm ready to do it. You give me a job, I'll get it done.
Yeah.
That's always going to stand you in good stead, innit?
Yeah, of course. And I think, you know, I've always been like that. But like I said, when if I was a bit younger and I'd been dropped, I probably should at times not just been like, oh, whatever sort of thing. Yeah. I should have gone in and said, I actually played quite well that day. Like, what's the reasoning sort of thing? But again, I was just one of them. Was just get on with it.
Don't you think a little bit though, Pricey? And I think maybe the pendulum swung a little bit where younger lads now, probably they get a little bit above themselves when they do play a couple of games, and then a manager might have a reason for leaving him out. I'm going to protect him a little bit, or you know, for where, or he is a bit of a younger lad, and I'm going to go with experience, where he might chirp up a little bit, and the manager will go, "Well, like, you don't rule a roost here." So maybe that would have stood you in good stead. True. Because actually now you're older, like you said, you will go in there and go, "Hold up, like
100%,
I expect to play."
Yeah, that's a good show. Actually, I suppose if I'd gone in at 2021, he'd been like, "Sort of, who are you?" Coming in to talk to me, like, sort of thing. Yeah. Like, you've not made it.
I think it definitely buys you some longevity in the game. But at the same time, you probably should have played another 30-40 games.
I think so. I mean, a bit hard done by in that sense. But yeah, I suppose when you look at it, he's probably saying, you know what, he's a young lad. Yeah. Just want to take him out the firing line a little bit. Maybe.
Tough balance, isn't it, to get that as a young lad? Like, do you go in there and say something, or is it going to be held against you? Like, what do you do?
You don't want to come across like you're having yourself, sort of thing.
No, you're
really, really say that. You'd come in, you'd be like, Gaffer, what the fuck do you want?
Just to see, did you want tea or coffee, Gaffer?
I'll leave it, Gaffer.
So is that really just, we've just got on here that like that season, new
so
deal?
15, yeah, so 15, that was the, just missed out on promotion. Then you had
14, 15, 16, wasn't it?
16 the following season. And you had a great season that season, didn't you?
Yeah, we're still in there. Yeah, still in there under Kenny, still won it.
Was that for the full season under Kenny?
Yes, was when we did struggle a bit though as a team, didn't we?
I think they were selling.
We lost Kev.
They were selling sort of all of our better players, if that makes sense. We lost. You two stayed though. Yep.
We stayed. They were going to get the graft out of us.
Yeah. Kev McDonald, Steers went. Ben Ekafobi had loads of talk about him, so his head was turned and gone, wasn't it? And they didn't bring anyone in, did they?
No.
So
not to replace him, sort of thing. I think George Savile, he came in there, didn't he? But he wasn't like Kev, is he?
Yeah.
One of the best I've played.
Oh, scary, isn't it?
Kev was.
Brought Connor Cody in.
Codes, yeah.
Yeah, that year.
Is he younger than you, though, isn't he?
No, my age.
Oh, he's your age?
One is my age, yeah. When he was at Liverpool and I was upset at Wolves, we'd always play against each other.
So you knew him quite well then?
Yeah, I knew him well. That's when he came. And
he even played centre mid, didn't he, for a bit as well?
He did. Right up against him. He first came, and then he went right back, didn't he?
Yeah, Codes. Towards the end, yeah.
He played right back. I don't think I ever played in the midfield with Codes, you know?
No. Was that another point where Codes came in and then you had to bide your time?
Yeah.
A new player comes in, plays.
Plays. Same with Sav, like I just mentioned, when George Savile came as well. He came from Chelsea, I think.
Yeah.
Spent a few quid on him and it's like, okay, he's going to play.
He's going to have 2, 3, 4 bad games.
And he's still in.
Pricey doesn't play till October.
Yeah, it's October.
You've spoken about this previously, though,
so
haven't
you? Yeah, 4 month off season. Pretty similar to what I have now. Yeah.
But Dave's spoken about this before, about like players coming in and sort of going, oh, you know, I'm going to be up against it. And you were saying, weren't you, there's like 4 midfielders coming in and you know that you're going to be up against it because the new manager's brought them in and then you're going to have to prove your worth and it all starts again and you're like, well, I've been at the club 8 years.
Yeah,
and
it's mental. It happened all the way through, innit? Even when Zenger and...
We'll touch on it later, but I even think that the very end of Wolves, like, I thought you were kind of quite hard done by the way you were playing. But going back to that season, so you got back in, another strong season for you.
Fans player of the year.
Yeah.
Nice out the win, innit?
It's nice. It's a nice feeling. It's sort of, I think the best one's player's player, innit? Because
recognise your contribution.
Yeah, whereas the fans one's a bit like, it's brilliant, obviously. Yeah. It's a recognition of, you know, their love for you, but at the same time, it's like...
Managers want to be nice, wouldn't they? Say I get a new deal with that one.
Yeah, it was a good year. Probably not my best football that year, though.
No?
No.
Why is that?
I don't know. I didn't think I was playing as well that year. I don't know if it's because there's a team, like a few of the, like you say, the better players had gone, and I used to just get it. Give it to Sacco. Or so
do you think you need good players around you? And obviously, don't you need like pace out wide? You need centre. You need a decent centre forward to get a hold of the ball.
Yeah,
when you need some.
I feel like my game's better because it doesn't rely on too much. Because like I said, I don't want to be getting the ball and dribbling past 5 or 6 players.
Yeah,
give it, sort of thing. And I could dribble past 1 or 2, but it's not my game. Really.
You supplement the better players by giving them the ball quickly, earlier, seeing them when they're in space.
That's a skill in itself, though, isn't it? Like, you know, you talk about attributes of a player. You've got some that, like Sam, you know, would have got the ball and just been direct and driven at people. Dave arriving late in the box. Yeah. And like having that as someone who's like that insurance, that recycling player is like massive, isn't it? It's massive, equally as massive, I think.
Yeah. Oh, you love them players.
Dirty job,
you had an unreal record when you first come into the team, didn't you?
Yeah. Because
you didn't lose for like a long time, did you?
Something mental, I would say, was it? No price, no points. These.
Don't worry, lads. Don't worry, lads. Price is here.
We'll be all right.
I think it was like, I want to say like 19, 20 games, something until you first lost, and then you didn't lose again to like 35 games price, or something. No points. Yeah, and that was the same. Yeah, there's a saying by all the fans: no price, no points.
Brilliant in the changing room, isn't it? Don't worry, lads. I've got you. Don't worry. Stick with me.
What about price injuries? Had a couple of injuries then.
Probably earlier when I was like 17, I had my hip done. So it was quite young to have something like that done. I was out for about 9 months. So I missed a lot of my first year.
How did you cope with that then?
I was fine. Yeah, I was fine with it. It bothers me now when I get injuries now more than it did then. Yeah. I just sort of got on with it.
In the coracle most of the time, wasn't it?
Yeah. Throwing a hammy on the downside. it was weird one, obviously. I think Phil Hayward was the physio at the time. And I remember him saying to me, he was our physio, it wasn't the first team. And he said, like, to my dad, he said, there's a chance that, obviously, he might not play again because it's quite a big procedure sort of thing at that age. And I think I missed half of my first year and then I missed half of, like, the second year. So, really, I was thinking, I hadn't played a lot of football from, like, to get my pro contract, really.
I suppose you when you're that age, I suppose you just roll with things, don't you? Like, now you'd be having a panic, or probably wouldn't
100%,
you?
Oh, 100%, yeah. Am I finished? I'd be like, not gonna play again.
Yeah.
But yeah, got back, did my rehab. It was probably about 4.5 months of actual rehab. I was out for like 4 months before because they weren't sure whether they wanted to do an operation and that. And yeah, come back, obviously, did all right. But this year, it's been my worst of injuries, I'd say. Did my calf, my hamstring, and then punctured my lung and did my rib.
How'd you puncture your lung?
Just like a sort of shoulder-to-shoulder sort of thing. Jumped up. You'd look at it and go, what's happened to him there sort of thing? And nothing. I was on the floor and I was like, a bit winded. I was like, oh. Carried on. I was about 30 minutes into the game, went off, came back on, and I was just like, like, you know when you broke your rib and you just can't breathe. And I was like, so I thought, I fractured my ribs before, whatever, that's nothing. Got back that night, it was about 11:30. And like, I've gone to like lie down to go to sleep. And I've just like full on panicking, like can't breathe, like in pieces. And I said to Lauren, I said, babe, we've got to go to hospital. And I was there all night, like doing, but they said, yeah, you'd like my lung had collapsed and stuff. So they said, good job, you did come in. But it was a nothing tackle.
Yeah.
He's getting the gym a bit scary. More, isn't
it? A bit soft. But, I told you about going up for headers.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't jumping to him.
But I've been quite lucky. At Wolves, I was quite lucky, really.
Yeah.
Had my hernias done when I was about 20, but apart from that,
nothing
really, no. Getting older now, ain't I?
Yeah. Goal scoring midfielder back then?
Who? Me.
When was your first goal?
I think it was that one that, well, was it even my goal? The one that come off me back against Watford at home, remember?
And you'd made a bit of a promise before that, hadn't you, about you've been growing your beard.
Growing my beard, said, first goal, I'll shave it off. Oh, it looks horrendous. Kev had the clippers, Steers had the clippers, Sacco and all coming in. I was like, oh, no.
Have you always had a beard then? When have you not?
So that was the only time. I was 21 when I shaved it off last. Yeah.
And you've had a beard since then?
Yeah. I was going to shave it off for my party the other week because I went as Woody from Toy Story.
and he ain't got a beard, has he?
And I was like, nah, last day, I was like, no,
I'm not doing that.
I remember your face is so pale, wasn't it? Where your beard had been.
Pale anyway, but imagine what's under there, spots and all sorts of
things. Great goal, wasn't it?
Hey,
a long range shot, you were trying to get the way and hit your ass.
It hit my ass, and then I can't remember the goalkeeper. It sort of like dodged the side of his hand and went in. And I was like, that's my goal, that is. Just remember running off.
Celebrated like he scored an absolute banger.
Yeah,
mate, they all count, don't they? They all count.
You've got to milk it, haven't you?
They all count.
Yeah. Knee slide a lot.
It was brilliant.
Lifted worm, everything lifted up. Yeah.
Brilliant. And then, got another one, didn't I? MK Dons away.
Yeah, that was a good goal.
That was a good finish, yeah.
You ran all over the pitch on a counter attack.
Yeah, it was from a corner. Yeah. Well, you know, I just opened the legs up a bit here. Get in there.
Off you went.
Alfie like flipped one in, didn't he? And I just tapped an empty net. Couldn't miss. But
and then, for 2-1 as well. Is that the winner?
2-1, yeah. We were struggling a bit that year, actually.
Yeah. That's probably a big result, wasn't it? Towards the end. And then the following season, is that when Fosun came in and bought Wolves, wanted to make huge changes?
Yeah.
And they got rid of Kenny Jackett in pre season and brought Wattle Zenger in.
Zenger came in.
How did you find sort of that transition?
I hated him. you know when like a manager just doesn't even bother talking to you, like, just to ask you. Yeah, and you know don't you, it's like, well, he's not having me sort of thing. So it was what it was sort of thing. And
not a way to treat people that way, is it? Whether or not you won for one or not,
I think that's just the way he was, wasn't it?
Was he the one that bowled in with the shirt and the rosary beads and all that
pre-season?
Yeah, it was like starting that game, that was Swansea we played.
Are the lads having him? I mean, obviously, you've got to have him because he's an absolute legend, isn't he?
Footballer. I got dragged after half-time and that, so he must have seen me and gone. I was playing in the 10 that day.
Yeah.
No wonder I got dragged. I remember that. Swansea, and they just, you know what Swansea were like then. They were just keeping the ball, bopping it, and I'm chasing the keeper down and out. I was thinking, what am I doing up here? Yeah, it was tough with him. I didn't mind the assistant, Stefano.
Yeah.
He was nice. He would talk to me sort of thing, but... Yeah, I found it hard.
So you didn't pick you?
Didn't, but I played probably a handful of games, if that.
He rotated a lot though, didn't he?
He did. I just remember,
it doesn't matter how you're playing, you were taking turns to rotate you out. So
was he right with you then, Dave?
He was good. I was playing mainly, but then out of just nowhere, you would be dropped out of the squad for a game and then you start the next game just because he just rotate players.
Would he explain that to you though?
He would say, like in meetings like before, so everyone's going to get there, everyone will be left out at some point because that's the way I work. Mm. Still never really expected it. Do you know what I mean?
Even the players they brought in, all the foreign boys, weren't they? They didn't really want to use the championship, were they?
Different culture then.
Yeah, it was. And that's kind of where it started to go away a little bit, wasn't it, at the start of that year?
Yeah.
Because obviously Fosun were bringing in a lot of other players now. Brought in loads of Portuguese lads, didn't they? For that season, because the start of that season, it felt like it lost its soul a little bit, didn't it?
They got
it right afterwards, didn't they?
Even Helder and that coming in.
Yeah.
They were the players in Cav won it at the time. They were good players.
But it was a strange time. It's like they panicked a little bit with Walter Zenger. Yeah. So I think they tried to get Lopetegui, didn't they? That summer. Year? They tried to get Lopetegui and he took the Spain job. I want to say that's around that time.
It's about right.
He was rumouring coming, and then he got Walter Zenger, and there's loads of stories how he got that job. Someone was saying it was in Ibiza, him and George Mendes.
I hope it was.
Yeah, I
hope it was. But yeah, huge change, wasn't it? And then I say you didn't really play too much, did you? Then.
Yeah, I was, you know, one of them when you're hearing that you might get the sack sort of thing, and you're thinking, please. And Lambert came in, didn't he?
Which was refreshing for everyone, wasn't it?
Best manager I've played under.
You love him.
I loved him.
Like, just around the place, like, and because I had been nowhere near it and no one was talking to me or whatever, as soon as he came in, he'd arm around me and, you know, you're a good player.
Man management.
Brilliant.
Different.
Like, he made me feel
first game, didn't you? His first game.
Played his first Preston away, he put me back in and it just made me feel good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he was brilliant on the training ground, wasn't he? Joining in with training and that. And
top player as well. Though,
brilliant player. Yeah. Didn't move much in training, did he?
Standing on the left-hand side and just... Kick it away,
be young because I was on the old team. He used to kill us, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
He won the European Cup in that, though. He can't be saying much. Come on, Gaffer.
He didn't used to tell us much, did he?
I know. I was walking through the corridor outside the treatment room, and I see him and Stu, the assistant, waiting through the corner. I was thinking, what's he waiting for? I've opened the door, and all I hear is him saying, like, have you got a spare half an hour, Stu, just to go upstairs and polish me winner's medals? He's just looking at me like that and giving me a little wink, and I was like, yeah, he's
brilliant.
But
I've got loads of time for that. Yeah. Brilliant.
But man management is big strength, then.
I think that's his biggest, just to get, and we needed that at the time because results weren't great. So he was just, it was almost like he wasn't the manager. It was almost like he was one of the lads, do you know what I mean, the banter and that. And he was just really good. And
massive though, isn't it, that if you can get the lads like feeling good about themselves and the confidence, that he could be the best tactician in the world. But you've got
to do you think it has to come from the gaffer then? Because you just said about Walter Zenger and like you got on well with his assistant who would obviously speak to you and do that side of it. But obviously you were like, oh, Walter Zenger's a whopper, but quite likes his assistant. Do you think that's like a strategic thing that he did, or do you think it needs to come from the gaffer?
I think it's bigger, especially for a player. I think you need it from the gaffer, don't you? Like Stefano, it's almost like, don't know how much say he even had. Probably didn't have much to do, so it was almost like he wouldn't even listen to him. So I'm like, if he likes me, it doesn't really matter, does it?
And ultimately, you want the respect off the top man,
you
want it off the boss.
Yeah, he's the one who picks the
Whereas,
team.
Like, Stu was great with Lambert, wasn't he? But poor Lambert was... Oh, he's brilliant.
So is that your best football, do you think, at Wolves under?
Yeah. That's when you talked about the QPR game and stuff. That was under him, and he just wanted everything to come through me and just go out to the other side. And it was, I felt like I could play football again, do you know what I mean? I'd had a bad, 4 or 5 months with Zenger and stuff, and... Yeah,
are you living in Shrewsbury at the time?
Yeah.
Obviously, you have a family then? Yeah, I do.
No, not then. No, it was just me.
So what about off the pitch and that then, having a few beers and all God, that?
That's fair.
If I a good life as well.
Yeah, if I was to be honest, I think that changed a little bit for me that year when Zenger was in and I wasn't playing and I was going out a lot.
Because you're not playing.
It's easy for me to say, like, listen, he doesn't like me, but then probably in training he's probably thinking, like, he's miles off it.
Yeah.
Because I probably wasn't keeping myself in the best condition.
Had a super son,
and to be fair, even when Lambert came in, I think that's probably my only regret, really. Yeah. One or two regrets in football is because he loved me so much and put a lot of trust and faith in me. I let him down a few times when I had gone out.
Yeah.
And now I remember him coming round. I don't know if you probably even know this, but he came round to my mum's house I think it was a Monday morning. Because I'd been out on the Sunday and I'd rang up saying, I'm not coming in, like I'm poorly, whatever, sick. And he came, it was after training, he'd come up at 2 o'clock and he was brilliant with me.
Yeah, not to have a go at you.
No.
Man management, that is class.
Yeah, and it was sort of like, after, yeah. Like, come on, like, we need you. Like, we're still sort of fighting, not relegation, but we weren't doing, again, brilliant. And it just made me, again, feel great, but it didn't stop me. I think I'd gone over a cliff at that point where it didn't matter who the manager was or whether he loved me or not. I was just so used to going out and be a Saturday night, be a Sunday. And I missed out on that Liverpool game because of that.
Yeah.
Played the Villa game. Got Man of the Match on Sky again, going down the coracle of the Man of the Match award, and then obviously didn't turn up for training on the Sunday or whatever it was, and then missed out on that. So, a couple of regrets.
I used to always ring Pricey though, like on a Sunday night or a Monday, and say, "Do you need picking up tomorrow?
Yeah, picking up,
or, picking up, just to try and get you, just to get you in the car to get you there."
Yeah.
What's going through your head though, there, Jack? Because obviously, like it sounds mental. Like obviously, you're on like the cusp of, you're playing for Wolverhampton Wanderers, you fly in and all of that, and then like. What's going through your head there? Why are you in that destructive mode?
I don't know if it was football related where I'd be doing so well and then be dropped and someone else would come in, I'd play a bit, then I wouldn't. But even under, I don't know if I was already, like I said before, like sort of in that routine of Saturday night, Sunday, because my mates did it. And, you know, it was easy to do it. And even when Lambert came in and liked me, I was still doing it. So I can't say it was to do with playing or not playing.
It's really hard to break the cycle, isn't it?
And yeah. if you're playing well, that's like you think, well, I'm still doing well.
It's not affecting me.
I've played well. I'm going out Saturday. Well, Sunday I did it last weekend. I played well.
Honestly, there'd be games, 60 minutes into the game, and I look up at the clock and I'm thinking, 2-0 up, and I'm thinking, oh, I can't wait to go out tonight. Yeah. Like, literally, that was what I was thinking at the time. I was like, this, you know, it's going to be a good night in the butt market tonight. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's just the way it was at the time.
I agree. I think there's a lot of people like that. Roy Keane talks about the Man U, doesn't he? He said, like, just look forward to the night out. It's all part of it, isn't it? And you're living for the moment, aren't you? It's all very well saying, oh, yeah, you've got a game in 7 days. You're like, 7 days?
Exactly, yeah.
I'm all right. I'm a young lad. I'm out Saturday night.
Yeah, and the problem is, though, by the time that was happening with you, football had evolved so much.
100%. Yeah.
I should have played 20 years ago.
Mate, you'd be sounding like my Shrewsbury team, mate.
I do, honestly. I always say all the time, I wish I was playing in the 90s or something. Yeah. Because that's just what's in me. Like, it's what I am.
It makes you look at these lads now who are, like you say, football's evolved, but it makes you look at them now and you have to have so much respect for their commitment and how disciplined they are. It's frightening, isn't it? The levels they have to go to.
It's sacrifice, isn't it? And someone might say, they get loads of money out now. But I think that makes it even harder sometimes because you've got that 100%. Money. Like, you've got time on your hands.
You don't have to just go down the club and buy a Jaeger. You could buy the club.
Yeah.
Couldn't you? Honestly, you could buy your own club if you wanted to.
No wonder people start gambling or whatever because, like, it's too much time on your hands.
That thing, free time. Did you feel like... Well, I suppose you wouldn't... It's not like you'd go out in the week, though, is it?
No, exactly. It'd always just be the weekend.
Yeah.
And because, like, Sunday was the best day in the Coracle. It was like, you go watch Big Brother play in the morning and everyone would go down... Sausage and chips, and it'd be.
I'll just have one.
Yeah, just the one. Leave the car here 2 hours later. Yeah. But it was sort of like I say, hard to break that cycle at the time.
Was there any messages coming from anyone sort of in your close circle of your mates or family ever saying, you need to stop doing this?
Yeah,
it's kind of everyone just enjoy you being out so much. Was it?
My friends were good. They'd always say like, come on, it's time to go home, sort of thing. And then my parents got involved a little bit when obviously Paul Lambert came over. My mum said, like, you need to stop what you're doing sort of thing. And I think consciously, obviously, we'll probably talk about MLS after, but consciously I was thinking, I need to get out.
Yeah.
Probably of where I was living, just because I don't know if I'd still be playing football. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it was good for me to sort of get out of the cycle I was in.
Yeah.
In the long run.
Drinking aside, you finish the season strong under Lambert.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, we get the news in pre-season that he's been sacked. Yeah. You gutted?
Yeah, I was, because... Part of me obviously felt like I'd let him down towards the end of the season, so I wanted to show him next year that obviously I'm more committed. And I think he knew probably, because I remember, because you drove me in, I think, it was after our end of season sort of do, wasn't it? Yeah. We got to Bridge North and that, and got told, and I didn't know if I had the option for the next year, so I didn't know if they were going to pick it up. But I remember him saying to me, we're going to give you the year, but I'm probably not going to be here. So I think he sort of knew, I think, that he was going to get kicked out. And that was probably, what, May time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, so then obviously I was gutted when he left.
And then a foreign manager coming in. You'd be worried it might go the other way.
I was thinking it's just going to be the same as Zenga was. It's just not going to have me and it's going to be another one of those.
Got that great picture, you and Nuno, though, look.
Yeah, that's probably one of my last games, to be fair.
That was my last game. Yeah. My last game.
Was it? Yeah. The Southampton one.
I'm celebrating.
That's why they're buzzing.
Dave's gone.
Yes!
I'll play a bit more now. that was the last one, I think, for me, probably too, mate. I was a bit gutted that year. I remember you saying a little bit before, because that was probably
talk about your pre-season, how you find Nuno and the massive change then with players and everything. You kind of have your take on that.
When I first went, we'd had a few days and I'd come back and I think he'd been told that obviously this lad likes a drink sort of thing. Because I remember we sat down in a circle stretching and Marshy was still there. He was brilliant. Ben Marshall, wasn't he? Some character.
Great footballer.
Oh, brilliant. Like, brilliant footballer, but even a better lad. Like, you'd love him.
Yeah.
And I remember him come up to me, and me and Marshall were sat next to him. He just looked at us and went, you two like a beer, don't you? And I'm thinking, oh, not really, I don't know. Hate it. But then we've done
that. Not really, have you got one on you?
Yeah. We've done the peep test, and I come like second or something.
So you were always fit? Like
I was always fit.
And that never affected your physical fitness?
No, I run in, like, always. It was more the sharpness, you know, when I was drinking a bit. Like, I felt a bit, like, lethargic and that. But I could run all day. Like, not as much as him, but I could run.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I did very well. For,
he was pointing to Dave, not Gav.
He's going to say, good job and all.
But then we'd gone to Austria, hadn't we?
Yeah.
And I thought I had a really good, week or 10 days we had over there. And I'd done quite well. And I think we played Werder Bremen the one game, and it was a couple other teams. And I'd done really well, like really well. And then we came back, and even then, the few of the lads had gone out for a beer, and I'd stopped like drinking. I was like, no, I need to like focus now. And I didn't go out, and I was thinking, I'm looking after myself. I've done everything I could. And then we played Peterborough when we got back in another friendly, and I played 45 minutes. And I didn't play great. And then I think Neves and Jota had just turned up at the time. So they came on for the second half. You know when you're thinking, oh, no. That wasn't the time to have a bad 45. Yeah. So obviously they came in. And then, but I think what really like stabbed me a little bit was the first game of the season was Middlesbrough, I think, at home.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even on the bench. And then I that was the first time I'd ever gone to a manager and said, like why? And I think like when you touched on it before, I don't think he liked that. Me coming up to him and saying, like, yeah. I bet he's probably thinking, we've got Ruben Neves coming, mate. You're going to be nowhere near it. And he just said, listen, he said, it's a long season. You know, I didn't put you on the bench just because we had other players that I thought would, you know, be more beneficial that game. But I knew it was more that they, again, wasn't probably having me, which, you know, it is what it is. Like, if there's a player better than you, it's fine. Like, Neves comes in, look how good he's done. He could play anywhere in Europe, couldn't he? So it wasn't that he had, like, took my place sort of thing. It was more the fact I'd had a really good pre-season and I'd been looking after myself for the first time in probably a few years.
Yeah.
And then it was still not good enough sort of thing. And then it's probably just, then I went downhill again and obviously got out of it in the end. But
you were really unlucky because it's not a case of Neves was always going to play. Yes, but I think you were fully, should have played alongside in that preseason. So Nuno came in and played two holding midfielders, that 3-4-3 system. Yeah. And that was pricey down to ground. It, like for me, it was horrendous. I remember that first game of the season, I was on the bench. I'm thinking, Pricey should definitely be on the bench in front of me because I don't suit the system at all. Yeah. Whereas you did, and he had such a good preseason, and you were our best midfielder. And you, like, if it was just done on performances, you should have played alongside Ruben in those first games, and then you could have literally taken off. Do you know what I mean?
It's the lad who's come all the way through again the academy, isn't it? Easy one to leave out.
So you were really unlucky, and then you did play some game like the cup games, and you was unbelievable in the cup games, didn't you? I remember the Man City game. I watched that on telly. You was a joke in that.
Yeah, we did well. We had Southampton first, wasn't it?
Yeah.
First one, 1-2-0. It was quite a young squad.
You got brought back in for that, didn't we? You played centre midfield, didn't we?
Yeah, we played centre mid, me and you. And then we had like Conor Ronan, Donovan Wilson, young boys. They were playing.
Danny Bath scored the winner, didn't he?
I'm thinking, I could have a sniff here. Probably not on the bench again at the weekend.
I got sold and you left out of squad.
We played really well, mate.
Yeah.
I thought we played really well.
Yeah.
Nowhere near it again. And I've played a few times.
Kill about the winning when you play really well, isn't it? And you're thinking,
Just someone's mind's made up, isn't it? Like you say, you get a feeling for it, don't you? And like it's easy because you're that lad that's come through, like Sam said.
And you know, it was what it was. I then that's when I knew it was my time to like go sort of thing and move on. It was the first time I'd felt that actually I'm 25. Like, I need to go and play football. Like I hadn't played that many games in 5 years. I need to go and play.
So the loan to Colorado Rapids then, obviously, how'd that come about?
So it was actually Stephen Hunt. He rang me, I don't know when it was, probably around December time. You know what Hunty's like, he was talking, he's like, basically sounding like I'm going to be a billionaire by going to this like Colorado team. I was thinking, I'll have a bit of this. But then obviously went over, I think it was the January, because I was supposed to play in the FA Cup game, but I had to go and say, Nuno, like I'm going to go see Colorado and just see what it's about before I obviously sign or whatever. And he had no problem with me. That was one time he was like fantastic with me because he said, listen, he said, this will always be home. So if you decide you want to go there, go. If you don't, you can come back here and obviously you'll still be part of the team. Which again was a bit of a regret actually leaving because they went up obviously a few months later. I was thinking, could I have stayed and got a medal and been part of it?
Yeah.
But I didn't feel part of it that much. So I probably did the right thing. So obviously, went up to Colorado to see it. And I thought, it's a new start. Get out of England and just have a taste of a new league. And obviously 5 years later, still over there.
So when that Colorado call came, were you then speaking to training, thinking, what's over here as well? What are my options over here? Yeah. Or was it always, no, I need to get away completely?
So that summer, actually, before Nuno and pre-season started, I'd gone down to MK Dons to see that, just to see if, you know, I could be interested. They were League One at the time. And then I think Kenny Jackett was at Portsmouth.
Yeah.
So Joe had texted me, Joe Gallen, and said they needed to sort like a left back or striker first. So then I was thinking, I could go down there. I've been under Kenny before. And then just nothing happened. And obviously I had a decent pre-season. So I was like, you know what? No, I'm going to stay here because I think I'm going to have more of a sniff this year. And obviously they didn't. So then, but it was a random one. The GM's in Colorado's Irish. So I think he must know Hunty through that sort of relationship. And then obviously Anthony Hudson was the manager at the time. He was in English. I think, is it Alan Hudson, his dad? Played for like Chelsea, Stoke.
Yeah,
he was like, he was obviously his dad had a good career. So obviously he'd done well with the New Zealand national team, I think. Hudson at the time. So obviously I went over and it was an English manager. So it was, I was thinking, yes, like he loved me. I was thinking this is exactly like sort of like Lambert, just perfect. It wasn't like a foreign manager, which I didn't obviously over the years get on with. So then I was just like, yeah, he told me I'm going to play every week. And obviously it's depending how you play, but I was thinking this could be my first year where I'll just play every single game. And I probably played 32 out of the 34 games that year.
It's mental out of it. Because at the time, like, is that when like Beckham and that had gone there, hadn't he? Like,
he'd been over there before.
A few of the older players had gone there, hadn't they? But there wasn't like a 25-year-old to go there. Like, no one's doing that, are they? Like, there was literally no one.
They had some massive players like Luke Rodgers over there, didn't they? Like,
yeah, Luke was there. Yeah. Was Luke there when you were there?
No, I think it was a couple of years before.
Was it?
He was at New York Red Bulls, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
But he was another one. But like, he was like 32, couldn't get anything. Like, you're going to 25, aren't you? Where do you think you're coming towards your peak? That's a massive, massive decision, that is, isn't it?
It was, and I think, like I've said before, it's more probably stuff off the field than just on the field.
Yeah, yeah. But you could have gone anyway.
Could have gone League One and just gone that's true. Yeah, I don't know really what really properly drew me to going over there. It's just something in my head. I was like, I've just got to do it. Obviously glad I did. But yeah, like I think one of my first games, Ashley Cole was playing over there for the Galaxy.
And they were all like, they're all like 35, 36. Yeah, they'd all like finished, hadn't they? They weren't playing anymore. And gone.
Yeah, and you could tell they were gone as well. I remember the one kid got ripped up by our winger. Like one guy, I'm thinking, he played for Arsenal.
You can't keep dribbling past him, mate. He's one of the best left backs ever. Stop dribbling past him. Give him loads of shit as well on the way past.
He used to have Ronaldo in his pocket, do you remember?
Yeah. The Euros won it or something.
Ronaldo said, didn't he? He's like the hardest player he's ever played against.
That one game,
So obviously you've gone from being a lad in Shrewsbury to living in like Colorado in the middle of the United States of America, haven't you? Like what? What's that? Whereabouts do you live then? Because obviously Denver. You live in Denver.
Denver, yeah. That's so obviously such a big place. It takes you like 8 hours just to drive out of the state. Yeah. But yeah, Denver. So we live about 20, 25 minutes.
And it's for like, I mean, I think Colorado's for mountains everywhere.
Mountains,
and as well.
Yeah. Got and like aspen. And
is it freezing in the winter, boiling in the summer?
Yeah, so was it 3 days ago? -27.
Yeah,
36 degrees.
I remember messaging Pricey after his debut, and I said, "You've changed, mate. You're wearing gloves." And what's the temperature
it
first?
It's like -15. Yeah,
I would be wearing gloves. Cold. Yeah. It's the coldest ever game in MLS.
I've got long johns on. Don't worry about the gloves. Don't worry about the gloves.
Hanging off his beard,
monobrow, just like pure ice.
Yeah, flipping it.
But it's brilliant. No, we've loved it.
What's life like, the culture and everything then?
So it was me and Lauren moved over the first year. We didn't have Hugo, we didn't have the dog. It was just us two. So it was like a holiday.
And you were in a house, an apartment?
We were in an apartment and we had like a pool on the top, like, and it was just the mountains in the background. It was just ideal. The first year was, we've said it now, obviously, we love Hugo, our son, to bits, but it was the best year we had because it was just us two.
Yeah.
And we just, you know, after training, we just go up in sunbathe for 2 hours and go get something to eat. And
is Denver an unbelievable?
It's brilliant
city as well. Yeah,
it's brilliant. Obviously, I can't ski. Obviously, with football and stuff. But I took Lauren up. She's gone up the skiing and that. And it's just a different world. Like, America in general. Like I've been to like obviously Vegas and stuff, and that was ridiculous. But I'd never been anywhere else. And I think the biggest part for me is getting to see all the other places. So every time we travel, like, well, we used to before COVID, we'd fly on a Friday.
Well, so you have to fly everywhere. Presumably.
Fly everywhere. Our closest game is an hour and a half flight. And that's our local derby.
Who's your local derby?
Rail Salt Lake. And we have like a Rocky Mountain Cup. So we're playing like 3 times for this trophy, man.
Yeah.
Hour and a half flight. And they ate us. And I'm thinking, why do you hate us?
Yeah. Like, we're never going to see you. We're working together.
It's mental. We're
going to bump into each other.
For me, that's been the biggest thing. Obviously, being able to play football. And obviously, the league's a lot better standard now than when I first went.
What about football? Because obviously you've got Denver Broncos, American football. They're Colorado
Avalanche, ice hockey.
Ice hockey's massive, aren't they, as
got
well?
The Nuggets basketball.
Yeah.
And they're so obviously pretty decent. Obviously Broncos aren't as good, are they? But the
football's well down the pecking order then. For
the owners. Who we are.
So the owners,
no one knows who you
are,
obviously, in Denver, I suppose.
That's what's nice, though, really good about it, right? Yeah. I think that's what I've really enjoyed. Obviously, come out in town in Shrewsbury, and everyone knows, don't they? Everyone knows. Whereas there, you go out, have a beer, you know, where the missus goes for food, not a piece. Yeah. Which is nice, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is nice. And it probably has, probably why we've stayed over there so long, because it's just us.
But you talk about the guys who own your club also own Arsenal. So it's the Cronky.
Stan Cronky near the Rams.
LA Rams. Rams.
Yeah. He's obviously got the Nuggets and the Avalanche as well.
Yeah.
He doesn't spend any
money.
Rappers.
He loses the bus.
Tax reasons, isn't it? But yeah, it's a shame, really, because I feel like if he put a bit behind us, we'd be pretty good, but for that reason, he probably doesn't feel like he has. So, I mean, he spends a lot of money elsewhere, doesn't he? Arsenal, he chucks money in.
Talk us through the standard then of the football.
So when I first went in 18, it was obviously lads out of college and stuff. It's completely different. Obviously, academies weren't really a thing. And I was a bit like, I remember you saying before, like people were saying, what's the standard like? And I just come from the champ. And I was like, oh, it's like the championship sort of thing. But in my head, I'm thinking it's not nowhere near, nowhere near. But the last 5 years, so come up to that season just gone, they're buying players for 20 million from Argentina and they're 21-year-olds. So the level's just gone. They've obviously
paid a lot of money now.
Yeah. And they've obviously got Carlos Vela and players like that. He could still play anywhere in Europe, really. He's got a hat-trick on us 3 times, I think he has. He's amazing, like amazing. But they've obviously had players like Schweinsteiger go over there, but then they were the ones that were obviously at the end of their career. But I'd say now, I've watched a few of the champ games. I think I was watching the Burnley-Birmingham one last night, and I look at it now and go, there's probably not much. If anything, it's probably not far off taking it over. I think it'll be top five league, I do, in the next 10 years.
Wow.
I honestly think it will. Yeah, the amount of money they're chucking around. And
wow.
Players the World Cup in. There as well, aren't they, in 20...
The World Cup in 2026.
There's a lot of good American players coming through as well.
There is now. Yeah, I mean, you look at some of them that they had a decent World Cup, I think they...
Yeah. They're very much like what you expect, sort of fit.
Yes.
Athletic, strong,
that is the league. That was the league when I first went.
Yeah.
It's like they're just up and down, up and down. Just because they come out of college, like you said, they're focused on gym. It's just athletes, isn't it? Whereas here, a bit more technical and... But obviously, the players coming in over the last few years. I think the one lad, he's at Atlanta, I think, and they paid 20 million for him. He just won the World Cup of Argentina, Almeida. So he didn't play a lot, but he'd obviously gone. He's a World Cup winner. Yeah. And you figure that. So the level, it has gone up. And obviously, it's going to keep growing, like you say, with the World Cup coming in 26.
Do you think that positions you quite well then, Jack? Because obviously, when you've gone there, you're probably thinking, I'm probably a bit too good for this standard. But now it's started to elevate. Do you think you're quite well positioned to sort of stay with that? And it's not going to sort of go to a level where you're like flipping out, I might get left behind here. You're thinking, actually, this is going to be at a level where, you know, you're going to benefit.
Yeah, definitely. Like when I first went, like you say, I was probably too good for it then. And I felt like every time, you know, it was all going through me. I had someone at the ball to me to, you know, distribute it and stuff. Like I felt like under Lambert at the time. And then obviously as the league's getting better, it just makes you have to perform better. Like, you know, every you're going up to a game and you're playing against, I don't know, Almeida for Atlanta, and you're thinking, oh, it's going to be a tough game now. Yeah, whereas before you don't, obviously, it sounds stupid saying this, but Schweinsteiger would play and you'd be like, he doesn't run. So it's like, it was almost easier playing against someone like him than it would be playing against a young 20-year-old that just wants to run all day. So I think, for sure, it makes you up your game and you know you have to be ready for it.
Going back to what you were saying before, about before COVID and you're travelling, so how would your week work then for, if you've got a game on the Saturday, games?
Yeah, Saturday.
So you say you travel early to the games?
Yeah, so we obviously train normal, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off. We train Thursday, we train Friday morning. Then we got to the airport, stay over Friday night, play the game, whether it be mid-afternoon or evening, and then you'd stay over Saturday night, fly back Sunday, which was brilliant. Like you say, you get to see all the city. So we had a few, mate. We'd go to like Texas, which would be like Dallas, Houston, which, you know, great nights. New York's fantastic. You got Chinatown and that. We ended up there last year. And
you don't need a kit, man, do you? I'd love that. That'd be amazing.
It'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? And it is. That's probably the best thing. But then COVID happened. We ended up getting our own like chartered flights everywhere, but we'd fly in the morning of a game. We'd play the game, we'd fly straight back. So the last 2 years has been a bit more like we haven't really seen a lot of the cities.
But when
we
go to
New York, we will, because it's the longer flights. If we fly 2 hours, we'll come straight back.
Yeah.
Has it got better now with the whole?
A little bit, but again, it'll only be the longer flights. If we go to New York or like an East Coast, we'll stay over because it's too late by the time we get back.
And you play everybody from sort of like the East Coast all the way like to the West Coast as well. So you travel, you're in the middle.
We're in the middle, so we're pretty lucky, so really. We sort of play, our favourite is like 4 hours, which is probably New York or Toronto or somewhere. Yeah. But we don't play every team now because of COVID. Before, we'd play every East team home or away, and we'd play the West teams home and away because that was our conference. But now we only play like a handful of the East teams. So travel's even shorter, really.
Yeah.
We play like 3 or 4.
So you're closer to the West then?
Yeah, so we're more, We're central-ish, but closer to the West, So we're probably 2 hours from like LA, which is obviously the West, isn't it?
Like Seattle, is that a bit further a flight?
It's a bit further, 2.5-3 hours, It's a bit more up.
Yeah.
Testing all US, United States, America geography, this is, isn't
it? Yeah. Honestly, yeah, and I'm terrible. Fascinating. Trying to think, is that below us or above us? But no, it has been good. The travel.
Any messy nights out then? Sort of after games?
Yeah, but most, first 2 years, like, all the time, obviously, we had...
So you're getting away from Shrewsbury, stop drinking.
Yeah, and I thought...
Got to like get away from all this.
It's different.
Is it different? I mean, different culture, I'd imagine. Different. It's not like you go and sit in the pub and have 10 minutes to call,
No, it'd be more like, you know, they'd probably reserve a table in a nightclub or something, and a lot of the lads had just come out of college. So you got to think they've had 4 years really of just partying. Because that's all they say it is. They say it's the best 4 years of your life.
Yeah.
So those younger boys, they come in, they're like, come on, where are we going? Sort of thing. Yeah. I was only 25 when I went, so I'm still pretty young.
Yeah, of course.
So we've had some good nights. Dallas, New York, they're the best ones. LA's obviously.
Yeah. It's what actually an experience.
When we went out in LA, we'd had 11 game stretch at the start of the season. We hadn't won a game. So we'd gone and played LA. The manager had already been sacked at Hudson. So we had like an interim guy, Connor Casey, came in. And we won 1-0. We scored in like the 85th minute. Oh, the celebration. Honestly, like, we've got a beer in the change. We're like, where are we going tonight? Yeah. Like, we just got the first win in 12. And we're like, oh, God.
Argentina got nothing on you.
Honestly. Like, so that was a good one. Tim had sorted some sort of beach hut, sort of like on the beach.
Tim Howard was your
captain. Amazing lad.
Brilliant bloke.
Oh, brilliant. Like, just, he'd always talk about like being at Man United and Everton, and I'd just be like listening to him thinking like, that's mad. Like Roy Keane, like snapping people and that in training. Yeah. And just, you could tell he'd obviously been at the top because in training, he just wouldn't stop barking on you. Like if you're small sided and you're on his team and a runner goes or like you divvy away the ball.
It's a little bit of keepers that though as well, isn't it?
That is keepers.
Yeah, bloody nightmare, isn't it?
You just want to be heard, don't they? Yeah. And then as soon as they come out, instead of catching it, they'll just punch it. You say something to them and they're like, oh.
He's obviously a big deal in America as well, so he'd have nights out on lockdown for you. He'd be able to sort everything everywhere.
Yeah, so we went to Dallas the one game. It was the third game of the season. And we'd organised some club after, and then we'd obviously gone to like a strip bar after. And there was a video that went round of obviously us being in there because it was Tim Howard. So someone's gone on the mic and gone, oh, Tim Howard, the American goalkeeper. Hey, we're all like that.
Tim,
and he's like trying to put his head down.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was about a week later. We've gone into training and Hudson's the manager at the time. And he's come in and gone, I've seen a video. Whoever's like at this strip club coming to the office. So he thinks there's going to be a few of the lads walking up. 15 of us go into his office and it's tiny.
Queuing out the door.
It's like a little sofa, two seats, and he's sitting on one of them. And he's like, there's not enough seats for him to sit down, sort of thing.
I can't drop you if you're
honest. And to be fair to Tim, like he'd said, listen.
Coming in intervals.
He said, it's on me. He said, you know, we had a good result. It was 1-1 all the way at Dallas. So we thought it was brilliant. Third game of the season. And he's like, it's on me, Gaffer. And I'd sort of organised it all then, obviously, because it's Tim. Nothing could be said in it. It's like, oh, don't worry about it, lads. See you out for training. That was it. Right, cheers, Tim. Thought we were going to get dropped next week. But yeah, just obviously being around him is just amazing just to see that level because I probably never really, obviously you've played at the top, you've played every level, but just that like drive he had in training.
That was Dave again, he pointed out there.
And he was probably 38, 39 at the time and he was getting on, but he still wanted to be the best. You can see why he's had such a great career because... Not easy to be like that every day.
Yeah, no. But you had like a really good start. You were winning MVP. Have you won it the first few years?
The first four years.
I saw that,
which
that's
was
quality.
Yeah, which was great.
You're nine for being the assist king as well.
Assist king, David Beckham. I beat his record, which was fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah. Just in one season, I think it was. Yeah, I think he had 10. I had 12. Which was
how'd
nice.
You rhyme that one? So you got no points, no price, no points. How'd you do the assist one? Would you trying to think of something witty to come up with there?
That was nice. Yeah, we had a really good year. 21, we'd finished top of the West. This is one thing I hate about like the way the league works. You win the West, you get nothing. You just get a bye into the playoffs. So the first round you don't play. So then we played. Obviously, you get home advantage. Then we played Portland at home and lost. Yeah. So we were out anyway. So it's almost
they've had a game in between to keep themselves going.
It's like the NFL.
It's the same. It's almost it's exciting and it's our playoffs. So I don't think they'll ever change. They'd have no relegation, no promotion. They have nothing like that, which I suppose is nice for obviously the fans. Like, I love watching like the NFL and like the basketball, and it is exciting.
Yeah,
but not when you've had such a hard season. You've done well. You finished top. You don't get a medal. You get nothing. It's almost like what are we doing this for?
You come a long way though. Considering you're talking about that first season where you didn't win the first 11 games, so what, 3 years later, you're winning the league.
Yeah.
And you're really well. And you're the star man.
Yeah, and obviously then Robin Fraser coming, who's our gaffer now. He came at the back end of 19, and obviously, you know, when a new gaffer comes in again, it's like everyone in training's on it. And I remember the first thing he said, lads, you're training like a team that's not at the bottom of the table. He said, you're looking out for each other. He said, the one thing I love about you, you know, you're all together. So the year after, it was COVID year. We started those first two games we won. We won away at DC and home to Orlando. I'm thinking, brilliant, we're going to have a great season. And then COVID, so then we didn't play for like 3 months, I think it was. So we ended up going, we had a tournament out in Orlando, which is weird. We were playing games at like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night and training at 9 o'clock. And I remember the one pre-match, we had like a Chinese buffet before the game. I'm having like chow mein and like chili chicken or whatever it is. But I was thinking, what's going on here? It was just mental. So obviously we finished that year. That year wasn't great. But then obviously, yeah, we go to the year after in 21 and that was a really good season. But the gaffer's great. The gaffer's fantastic. He played for America. He's a Jamaican born, I think he is. But he's played for America. So he's played a good standard. He's played in MLS all his career, like a good 15 years. But that year, what got us that top of the West was togetherness. We didn't have the best players, but we had a good changing room. And honestly, that gets you so far. We know what it's been like at Wolves. Yeah, you know, the League One season, the following year, it's probably the biggest thing and the hardest thing probably to get. We had no like bad eggs. Like, everyone was together. And they had the ones that even didn't play, they're still happy. And that's hard. How do you get that sort of thing? And but no, yeah. So obviously from the first year to now, really. Obviously last year was not as good. But yeah, it's been up and down. But again, we don't spend the money like the other teams, like the LA teams do. So we're not going to be like anywhere near that level. So
that togetherness is massive.
So you need
you're the captain of that team now,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, so
good team to
we have a good little thing with the GM. He's brilliant, Porrigues. So I'll ring him up and say, listen, we've got four games coming up. If we get 9 points, 8-9 points, team dinner. And he'll, yeah, so we'll get a team dinner and it's fantastic. And obviously, you need...
Is that in the strip club or just... Oh,
it's called Shotgun Willie's. It's fantastic. Do a great steak in there. But no, yeah, so we'll have... Hopefully every month if we hit the points. Last year we didn't as well, but it's big. Like, go out and have a few beers with the lads. You all know what it's like when you're
massive.
That togetherness. I don't think you can match that. If you have that, that is sole reason why we did so well.
You get to know each other, don't you? It is like a team spirit. When you become friends with people, yeah, you care for them more. Like if I'm playing with playing with Dave, he's your mate, isn't he? You want to play well for your mate, you care. 100%.
Because we had a young boy just come out of college, Jeremy Kelly, he was like 21, 22. Wouldn't say anything in the change room. Great lad, great player. Just wouldn't say anything. You go and have a beer with him, you know everything about him.
Yeah.
And it's like, then you go into training on Monday, you go, El Jezza, you have got a voice.
Yeah.
And then after that, he probably feels more part of it.
Exactly.
Also, obviously, it has to be a balance, but it's important that you do that, isn't it? It's like you say, I suppose, with some of the big hitters in those leagues, that's like, would you say that's imperative that you've got that? If you haven't got that, then they're big hitters spending money. You're not. You have to have that camaraderie within the team.
Yeah, 100%. I think, like I say, because we did so well with that year, like you said, if we didn't have that, we don't go and spend 20 million on a player or they're called designated players where you have to earn over a certain amount and you'll have free and, you know, LAFC, you'll have Vela, Bale, Chiellini. Like, we don't have any of that. Since Tim went, Tim was ours at the time and he was a goalkeeper and he was coming at the end of it. So we've never really had that star man. So we have 11 players that just have to be together. And if you're not, you'll come in and you'll go. Because it's for a club like us, we're small and,
I think it can sometimes work better, but I think you're taking a risk, aren't you? Getting in like one superstar. Yeah, you know, true. It's all very well saying, oh, you get Gareth Bale to come and be a centre forward for you, but you're changing the whole way you play. Like, it's like Ronaldo at Man United, isn't it? Do you want that? Because that can totally transform the culture of the club.
But I think it can go the other way too. I feel like sometimes it's like, because we did well in that model where it's like togetherness and sort of on the cheap side, and we did well. Obviously, they look the year after, go, oh, we don't need to spend the money because it can be done. But then sometimes it's like, they could just give us a little bit of a go, and it's like maybe we add some more quality, and then I think it would definitely benefit us going forward.
How do you find being captain then? Do you enjoy that leadership role? Do you revel in it?
It's honestly, it was when Robin Fraser came in and he pulled me in because I was close to signing for Shrewsbury at the time because Sam Ricketts was the manager.
Oh, don't tell Shrewsbury fans that.
Because I wasn't really enjoying my time in that summer.
When was that?
It was when the interim manager in 19...
God, what a signing he'd be for Shrewsbury.
He was...
wasn't it flipping it?
Still fans time, coming back, still Jack? Time.
They're not paying 15 grand.
I wish. And anyway, so I was having a bit of a sticky time. We were playing like long balls and I was like, that's not for me. But then before Robin came in, I think it was like September time, and the Shrewsbury deal had gone sort of thing anyway, that summer had gone. And he said, no, I want to make you captain. When Tim retires at the end of the year, I'll make you captain. And I was thinking, for whatever reason, he wanted me to be. Because around the lads, like, I want to be a bit of a joker in the change room. And but when I'm out training, I'm pretty much, come on, we're on it now sort of thing. And the older I've got, I've had more of a voice. And I sort of trust what I say is right. And I think he said then, he just said, listen, just be yourself. Don't change sort of thing. Because I'm not one that's going to come in and start pointing fingers at someone. You know, there's been occasions where we've had to do it or whatever. But I'm like, you know me, Edo, I'm not going to come in and start ranting and raving at someone. So I do enjoy it. I do enjoy it. And you know, a lot of the young lads sort of look up to me now. You know, I'm 30 now, so it's mad to think like where it's gone really. Those 10 years, it just flew by. But I'm enjoying it as long
you're
as...
You're now the responsible one and the mature one.
Trying to be. Still got to show the young ones the ropes, haven't you, when you go
out
there.
But,
no, I am enjoying it. I'm loving it. The best feeling is walking the lads out on a Saturday afternoon.
What's your situation at the moment there? How long have you got left? Do you want to stay out there longer, or would you like to come back and finish over here?
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
It's almost like 50-50 between it. Every time, you know, I come home and see my family, which are my friends that I miss, it's almost like, I'd love to give it another go, especially in the Championship. Like, I feel like I've still got a few years left in me. And I feel like, because that year at Wolves where they went up and got promoted and I missed out on it, it's almost like I've a bit of unfinished business there. But at the same time, it's like I've got a year left guaranteed at Colorado with like a 2-year option. So it's almost like I wouldn't be struggling either way. So it's like, do I want to stay out there? Do I not?
Nice position though, you're in there. Not?
Yeah, I'm in a decent position. I need a good year this year, I feel, to...
If you come back then, you'd be looking at, you'd only be considering Championship.
Yeah, I think at this stage, I feel like I've still got a lot to give at that level. I feel probably League One would be a little bit of a step down at the moment. Yeah. But like I say, sometimes it's not that easy, is it? Like, you know,
there's some big clubs in League One as well. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? There's
if Wednesday, like,
yeah, if Wednesday knock on your door, you might consider it,
exactly.
I suppose. But.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah, if there's teams that maybe have got a chance of going up next year or this year.
But your family, yeah. So you got Lauren.
Yeah.
Fiance
now.
And then Hugo as well. Hugo's three.
Just turned three.
And obviously American.
No. He was born here.
Oh,
he's born here. Yeah, it was the off-season.
Yeah, so you got back the royal shoot.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're not married, me and Lauren. Oh, so over there, you have to pay like 15 grand to deliver a baby or something stupid. She's got an insurance.
Get back home.
I'll see you when I'm home. But it worked out lovely. He was born in December, yeah. So yeah, little three-year-old, he's great.
Do they enjoy it over there?
They love it. Yeah, he loves it because he's at school now and stuff. And
kindergarten.
3 days a week. Kindergarten. Or school,
is Lauren a Shrewsbury girl as well?
Yeah, she's from Sundorn too.
Does she win? What's her thoughts?
It's similar to me. It's like she misses family, but when we're over there, it's great. Life. It's just us. It's hard at times, but it's because it is just us. I suppose it's being a parent, isn't it? You have to get on with it. You can't rely on people all the time. But it is nice to come home and your grandparents get to look after Hugo, and it's brilliant. It's going to Tesco to a shop. Do you mind having him for a couple of hours? Just makes it easier, doesn't it?
Yeah. Long term, you'll always come back.
Yeah.
So when football's done, whenever that finishes, you'll be back in Shrewsbury.
Whether that be the end of my contract there or whenever it'll be, I'll definitely come back here.
Yeah.
I do want to end at the town, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
That's something that's in my head.
A few years.
I don't know when it'd be, but I do want to, yeah. But again,
be nice.
You never know, your manager might not want you, so it's hopefully they do. But
yeah,
I think every shoe manager would be interested, wouldn't he, at the moment?
Especially, especially when you don't have to rely on athleticism. I think you've got the type of game which should go into your late 30s.
Yeah,
definitely.
I think so. Yeah. I don't rely on it.
I love the fact that you're just not coy about it at all. You're just like, I want to end up there. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, I've always wanted to because I've never played for him, like we talked about before when I was seven. I've never had the chance to. So I think that'd be brilliant to.
Do you think it might be hard though? Say if you want to come to the Championship, say like Ryan Lord Preston, is he going to see enough of you to sign you for Preston?
That's the thing. I don't know how much of any MLS games because they're on so late, aren't they? Like
Sam will have a word for you, won't you?
Yeah.
I've asked him,
said I'm available. He hasn't rang me back.
The thing is though, Championship clubs now, like, they have to be looking at every avenue.
True.
They have to be going out to MLS, sending people out there. Like, you can't afford not to.
Yeah, that's
because
true.
You can get players who are to the level, if not better, and get them at a cut price for maybe if Ryan goes to get someone from Liverpool.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
They have to do that now. Of course they are. They're looking in the A-League in Australia. They're looking in America. They're looking all through Europe. They have to do that now because it might make the... For whatever they'll pay someone 50 grand a year in flights to go out and look there, they'll get a player and maybe save 3-4 million on it.
Yeah, that's
but they
true.
Have to do it now.
And I feel like because I've played the Championship and played quite a few games, it's not like it's a bit of a risk, is it?
Nah.
I've played English football before, so maybe if it was someone like an American lad that had never done it, maybe it'd be different. But
maybe that loan, like, you know, this period that you've come back, and I know the World Cup's been on this time, so it's probably not, but maybe that sort of period of going, well, you know, instead of me having a break, I'll go over there, have a couple of months on loan in England. That might be the way through, mightn't
it? Because it's a long off season. We've had 12 weeks because our season was obviously so bad, we didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah,
12 weeks off.
Yeah,
it's like you can only keep yourself.
That's your banker, isn't it?
6 weeks is hard enough.
Little low move in that period.
I don't know how it works.
A few people used to do it, didn't they? I remember the, what's the name did it at Everton, didn't he? The American forward.
Thierry Donovan. Henry did it, didn't he? Went back to Arsenal.
Was it Landon Donovan?
That's it.
Landon Donovan. There's a few of them that did it. Robbie Keane did it as well, didn't he?
I just don't know what happens with the How many teams can you play for now? Is it two or three?
It'd be a nice one for you to do when your contract finishes there, to go on loan till Jan, almost to look, I'm good enough and I'm ready.
To still do it,
You've got no risk. You can get yourself in the shop window over here.
True, yeah.
Hey, well then, pressing. Easy,
there you go,
Down for you, sorted.
Give him a call, Sam.
Free transfer. Very easy. Next Jan.
I'll take a little handling fee out of that. Like what we do all the time, Jack, what we do with every guest that we've had, they have to pick a five-a-side team.
I haven't warned you about this either. I forgot. I was going to text you last night.
The best five-a-side team. You can go, like, obviously, you've got a keeper. You can go one defender, two. You can do what Gav did, just pick four defenders. You can do it however you want to do it.
That's not what happened.
Dave, tell Jack your team. That was good.
I think I listened to this one.
Yeah, there's not many. Everyone, Jack has.
I've listened to the first series, yeah.
Yeah, there's not many, is there, who's done better. Like, no one's come close, have they? Really?
No one's getting near him, are they?
No, I can't think of anyone. Like,
he'd have had better than that, wouldn't he?
Kevin Ratcliffe.
He was decent, was he? He said something about Ryan Little. Who's that guy that he said up front? Rush or something? What was his name?
Yours was good.
He was all right.
Yours was Joe Hart and goal, Connor Cody, Aaron Ramsey,
Neves.
Ruben
Neves. And Bale up front. That's decent.
Probably have a couple of them yourself.
That's decent. Go on then.
Tim Howard. Keeper. Yeah. Even though he was at the end of it, he was still brilliant. Yeah. Like I said before, just professionalism and just a top lad. And obviously he's had the career he's had. So Tim for sure.
Coach, mate. What formation are you going with?
I always thought it was hard me saying coach because he wasn't really a defender, was he? But then he's done so well there.
I'm going to go for a 1-3, 1-2-1. 1-2-1. 1-2-1. Don't want to put too many defenders in there, do we?
Nah.
You leave 10 a penny, aren't they?
Stalwarts, aren't they? They're like the foundation of every team, aren't they?
Do you know what I really liked? I loved Coast a bit, but I thought he was a really good player. I liked Richard Stearman. Steers. I thought Steers was a really good player, and at the time, he would Cruyff out of the defence, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he'd be good in a 5-0.
Risky, and he would be good in a 5-0.
He used to like to play up front, though, didn't he, in a 5-0?
Yeah.
He's got a bit about him.
Defender who likes the Cruyff. I like him.
He used to call himself Berbatov in the 5-0.
Call yourself Berbatov. When you call yourself it, it's a problem, isn't it?
Quality. Yeah.
He'd be like, Berber's up top.
Find me, you know where I live. Find me.
You've put me in it here, haven't you? I'm trying to think of...
Two midfielders.
Neves. Again, I didn't have a lot of time. 6 months, I think I was with him, but
he was top draw.
Top draw, and obviously seen what he's gone on and done over the last
few years. I remember
saying
to these two boys, I was only with him for maybe about a month.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
but there was moments in training where he did stuff you think I've not seen that before.
I think there was one time where. You might have still been there then. It might have been a preseason. He's done like a half volley.
I've told this story about it. It's like, just like
60 yards, like almost like a daisy cutter. And I'm just thinking,
it's like a block tackle in the middle of the pitch. It's just bounced up, isn't it? And then he's just run onto it, mate.
All the lads have gone, we haven't got that. If the gaffer wants me to do that,
I was about to fuck it around the corner. I said that down the channel.
Yeah. I said another time he lobbed John Ruddy from like about 6 yards out in a 5-0. Yeah. John Ruddy's like 6'6".
If I'm midfielder, Kev Mack.
Yeah, good.
I can't not put Kev Mack in.
He was quality though.
Brilliant.
Class.
Like I say, a lot of my game has been get it, give it. Yeah. I'm in a tough situation and Kev's got four men around him and I still give it him. He'd do a pirouette, wouldn't he, and get out of it and just smooth. He was just smooth.
And really a good lad.
Brilliant footballer, wasn't he?
Lad.
How on earth he didn't play higher? Top Premier League player.
He didn't play.
No, he's not.
Got levels
he obviously
long
went
time,
to Fulham, got promoted a couple of times, didn't he? And they got relegated and went back up. But I just think Kev, the way Kev was, he wasn't bothered.
No.
I just don't think he's had a great career anyway. Like, the Scotland, you know, get called up and just say he's got an injury because he just wasn't bothered, was he? He just the way he was, wasn't he? He was,
you know, you say Kev. You wouldn't like to be ultra famous. You wouldn't want to be a big hit.
Yeah.
Kev's probably got the ability to be a big hit. He thought, not for me, though.
Yeah.
I'm quite happy where I'm at.
Don't want the publicity. Just, I don't want people recognising me and all that. I can't be bothered with that.
Go back to Carnoustie.
I'm taking over nice.
Carnoustie was from, wasn't it?
Go back there, nice chilled.
Yeah.
Got a few quid in my pocket, but nothing stupid.
Yeah.
I don't want any.
Yeah,
we're like that, Sam, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're sort of that mentality.
He ended up Dundee last year, wasn't he? He's just finished, didn't he?
Yeah.
Don't even know if he's playing now, Kev, to be fair.
But Kev, player.
Yeah.
Lovely footballer.
Stuck here, striker.
Centre forward. Big one, this, isn't it?
It was a big one.
Funny how we never have any wingers in these 5-0s, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Because I was tempted with like Cav and Helder Costa.
Liabilities, aren't they? Wingers.
I remember you telling me when Helder Costa saying he could play in the top four, couldn't you remember when he was early, a few years ago?
That season under Lambert.
Yeah, oh, brilliant, yeah. But again, like he made him feel like he was Messi, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he was.
Yeah, he was.
There's not many Rapids lads getting involved in this.
That's the level, isn't it?
It's all Wolves.
Who's the best player you played at Rapids then, apart from Tim Howard? Any strikers there? Which...
Yeah, Diego Rubio is a good player.
Yeah.
He plays for Chile. Good player.
What sort of position is he?
About it.
Danny Wilson. Liverpool. Played at Liverpool from Rangers, Hearts. Yeah. Scottish guy. He was brilliant. He could have been
one.
He's not in. Oh, no, sorry, he's not in. He's a centre-half. But he's got a lovely left peg on him. He probably could have been him and Steers. I forgot about Danny. I'm going to go Jota. I'm going to go Jota, I think.
Decent.
I was tempted even with like a Bennick or someone. That one year, Dicko and Bennick and Sacco, they were brilliant, weren't they? But
explain Jota though, because I've tried to explain for you. He's just different, isn't he, the way he plays?
Obviously, I always said to the lads, like my friends, I'm like, in training, he's so strong. Like, you'd knock him, wouldn't you? And he just wouldn't move. And he's probably my height. Maybe a bit taller. And yeah,
six inches tall. 5'10". Dave's looking at me there, I'm going,
But like, you know how Suarez used to do it? Where like, he'd sort of run into you and the ball would like ricochet in there. And he'd just go through. But he was just, technically, he didn't look great, did he? But I never thought he would ever go to Liverpool and be as good as he was. Do you know, like Neves, when you look at it and go,
you said that, didn't you? You were like, Neves was a joke. Like, no one was really having Jota as being, like, outrageous in the same way.
I always said I thought Jota would offer us the most that year. I him and Neves. I thought Neves was really young, but I thought Jota, just the way he played in the championship.
Yeah.
Like, you'd be running alongside him, and he would jump into you. Mm. And then carry on running with the ball, do you know what I mean? He just road challenges so well, didn't he? And like, he's not South American, but that South American style of Suarez.
Yeah.
Those sorts of players who just kind of bundle through challenges and come out of the ball. He was very much
like
that. He did
like getting stuck in, didn't he? Oh, yeah. He wouldn't be one to fight to a tackle, but like if it got a bit, he'd be in there.
You can see that though, can't you? Yeah. Even just from watching him on the telly.
And an eye for goal.
And that one year, obviously that year they went up, he was phenomenal, wasn't he, in front of goal?
Yeah.
But yeah, he's probably... I was close to even because I didn't play a lot with Stephen Fletcher. It was more CBU, but in training, Fletcher was unreal, wasn't he?
Class.
Yeah, brilliant. Like his first touch.
Amazing.
Like, again, but you wouldn't know that, would you? Like, and if you'd actually trained with someone like that, you'd be like,
I suppose you see him, and he's a bit of a handful.
Yeah, and his touch.
He was so delicate, wasn't he? Like, these little light feet, wasn't he? And
just be on his
kill everything first time.
Yeah, he was good.
Good in the air.
It's basically something we talk about Niall Quinn when we signed Niall Quinn at Sunderland, and we were like, Niall Quinn, this donkey, and he come and his touch was an absolute joke. And we were just like, my God, and I was like, fair play, Niall, you're really good at football.
It's mad, isn't it, when you just don't know a player, you just make your mind up on him, don't you?
Let's read that team out, Gav, what you're in down there.
Howard in goal, Stearman at the back, Neves, Kev McDonald, and Jota up front.
Not many, not many of you. Let's open on the rappers. Listen to that.
Just Tim and it. Yeah. Tim does listen, and I didn't put him in.
Yeah, we'll get him on as a guest.
Right, thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you very much, and Jack. Quality that, mate. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you.
Amazing, mate.
It's been an absolute pleasure. We'll probably see you back in Shrewsbury in what we're saying, 4 years. Come and say for Shrewsbury, 34.
Yeah, I don't want to go too
a little bit.
Yeah, 34.
We'll do a follow up. We'll do a second episode with you.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah,
nice one. Part 2. Pleasure. Thanks so much, Jack.
Thank you very much.
Love it. In the Stiffs with Budgeon Motors. Budgeon Motors are on Stafford Park in Telford and Featherbed Lane in Shrewsbury for all your car needs. Contact Budgeon now.